I guess we'll get started now. I didn't realize it was after 9 already. I'm here enjoying the fresh air outside. The main reason for this call is to discuss the particulars of that email titled Fiduciary. And I won't have to talk too long about it, I don't think. And then if there's any questions, you have to unmute, of course, to be heard. But the way that I've structured that fiduciary text is basically it's to look at it more as a baby step, as an introduction to maybe a new perspective for a lot of people, and which is really taking ourselves out of the equation. And put that in a little bit of perspective is, I'm going to use the word God here, but and everyone can give the meaning they so choose to that word. It's only a word, divine, whatever. And part of where we've been falling down is we're not coming from the perspective that we are the creator or God in that sense. And God gave man dominion over the earth, not names, not titles, not offices. And so we really have to, in our minds and within ourselves, rise above things like names and titles and offices, and certainly above putting things back in perspective that we created the government as our servant to serve us, not the other way around. And to put that in perspective, if you're a rich guy and you've got servants working in your house, you don't take orders from your servants, and you don't ask them if you can go to bed, or you don't ask them if you can get some food out of the fridge. You just go and do it. Of course, at the same time, respecting the servants. And I use the servants, term servants, with respect to the government or the government people, as they chose to have that position. And it was not meant to derogate anyone's status or anything like that. But that is the position and the role they play in those offices. And this is the part that somewhere along the way we all forgot. In fact, I was talking to a guy here sitting by the river today, and was thinking of running for a municipal election. I told him, well, then your platform should be to remind the people that we are in charge, not the government. They work for us, not the other way around. And so that's kind of the perspective to have in mind with this fiduciary thing, or I guess anything in our lives here, of course, to do it lovingly and peacefully and just respecting everyone's position or role that they choose to play. But as people in not filling an office in our day-to-day lives, we are the source, we are the creator, we are the ones in charge. But if we don't act like that, in other words, if we communicate to our servants from a perspective that they're in charge, and it's just evidence we don't know who we are, and nothing's going to change. And so there's that. The other perspective is that to come from the perspective of a creator, creators actually are servants as well. And in that, I sent out an email a little later today. Some of you may not have had a chance to read it, but when you consider that it's the employees of a company that do the actual work, it's the employees that are the creators. So creator and employee are synonymous in that sense. And so we're all servants in that sense. It just depends at what level. And so we would say that God is the number one servant, and man would be number two. God, man, same thing for the purposes of this call. And then titles like names and corporate names and titles for offices, i.e. attorney general, policeman, are all below that. And so we need to internalize within ourselves just who exactly we are in the equation, and that's up for everyone to decide for himself how he fits into this. But for purposes of this call, we're all God. Each one of us is of the one individualized, and we are God. And we do have dominion over the earth and all the creepy things. And we've been down this road before, but we really need to internalize that now. Another thing I was laying down a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about a letter that was sent from the Vital Statistics in British Columbia to a friend, and in that letter was talking to you. And it just hit me right then that, when you get a letter from someone at the government, it's addressed to a name and an address, and then somewhere in the body of that letter, it's like they're talking to you, or you perceive they're talking to you, but when you really think about it, the individual on the other end that sent the letter has no idea who you are. But really, at the end of the day, when they're talking to you, you got to ask yourself, well, just who was you? And you'll see that defined in contracts and leases and stuff as well. They define who you is specifically on those contracts. But at no time is you. You is not who you think it is, because they have no idea who we are. In fact, Judy Hartman, when we met with her, that's the Deputy Registrar General Ontario, one of the comments she had made during that meeting is that we do not know who you are.
Charlene, Columbus, Ohio.
Hello, Charlene.
Hi.
So these point is that we don't exist in the information systems, the names do. And so when they're talking to you, they're actually talking to the name, not you and I.
Correct.
And so we have to get that in our head too, I think, that we are not the you that they're communicating with. They are communicating with the name, because that's all that they can recognize. And therefore, if we take on a name, if you hear as a name or give a name without qualifying it, and again, remember here, folks, God really does not have a name. God is not the name of God. And there's lots of suggestions what God's name is, but I don't think anyone here on this planet actually knows the truth of that. I've never met God personally that I can remember where God introduced himself by a name. It's just an isness thing. And again, we have to adopt, or should be considering adopting the same perspectives. We are not names. Names, as we know, is a word or a phrase. It's letters on paper. And we are far greater than that. It's silly as it sounds, but... So there's the you issue to keep in mind, and we are definitely not a name. And you know, a lot of people have experienced that at the instant you give a name, regardless of what they say or how you try to qualify it, most times they're going to attach the name to you, and then they're going to put it on the basis that you're it.
Agreed.
And so the reason, and that's the reason for the basis of that fiduciary text or the text shared in the fiduciary email, which is that we've more or less taken ourselves out of the equation, just using paper information in that process, and that information would be either a statement of birth or the birth certificate. I prefer the statement of birth because it is the document of title, and it removes any element of doubt. For example, if you were meeting someone face-to-face, it's one thing to put down the statement of birth. It's another thing to put down the birth certificate. And right off the hop, if you put down the birth certificate, most people are going to just make that joiner that this is your name or this is you. Whereas with the statement of birth, it's up by far more of a hearsay statement. The other thing at the end of the day is that none of us can prove what our name is. You don't have any paper without that statement of birth in our possession, or any piece of paper in possession, if whatever, to back up whatever name you give out of your mouth. We don't have that paper. So the truth is, any name that we offer from our mouths is hearsay. However, if we give a name out of our mouths that looks and sounds the same as the one on, say, government identification, then 9 times out of 10, there's an attachment or joiner is going to be made, and you're it. So I talked to some people recently and heard about other stories where people have situations with the police, as an example, and when they're asked to identify themselves, they just identify themselves as themselves, as a man, and do not have or do not produce any other identification, and in any case do not give a name out of their mouths. When you really think about that, you can only truly identify yourself with yourself. A piece of paper cannot identify you. It's ridiculous. And most of us have come to know now that government identification really is not identifying us. But it's a series of events and that we've all partaken in, and through everyone I know, and have done certain things, and for sure everyone I know, including myself, has come from the perspective that I'm an owner. And in fact, in Canada, anyhow, or in Ontario, if you look on the permit for the automobile, it'll have the name on there, you know, who it's registered to, but at the signature line, it will say signature of owner. Now, if you knew you're not the owner, there's no way you'd put your signature on that piece of paper indicating yourself by your hand, which brings the human element into it, which is really an expression of the consciousness that we're at the time. We are putting in evidence that we're basically making a statement that I am the owner of this vehicle. And we've covered the ownership thing before, but the book Babylonian Woe is very good at bringing out the whole consciousness of ownership that at one time in our history never did exist. We either had something or we didn't, but there's no such thing as mine, and you can't have it, or the individual owners, if you will. We share it in common. So the concept of ownership has to be dealt with, and then, unless we nip that in the bud, and we are going to be perceived as the owner. If we're perceived as the owner, in fact, we are not the owner, but if we say we are, then we're allowed for the belief, and as the owner, we would have the legal title and the equitable title, which means there is no trust. And essentially, we have it all at that point in time. Whereas, we are not the owner, meaning we do not have the title to the name that all this property is registered in, then we neither have legal title or equitable title. And that basically takes things and throws them 180 degrees the other way. And the best way for me to put that in perspective is I put in that email I sent later today, if you look at the name on your birth certificate as a registered business name, we did not register it. We are not the owner of that business. Now, although incorporation documents, I've incorporated businesses in the past. So I'll use that as an example. When I've done that, I get a certificate of incorporation. Now, a certificate of incorporation is not personal identification. It does not identify me, the bearer of that paper, any more than the birth certificate does. But the certificate of incorporation has my signature on it and a name associated with it. And so going through that process, I'm indicating myself as the owner of the business, who is the primary party, the one responsible to perform for the business, with respect to making sure the taxes are paid and licensing, so on and so forth, and general day-to-day operation of the business. Now, those duties can be delegated, but we're talking not major corporations where it's divided up in the board of directors and shareholders and all of this stuff. So a certificate of incorporation is no more personal identification than a birth certificate. But a certificate of incorporation does have my signature on it and would indicate me as the owner of the business. However, when you look for the birth certificate, our signature is not on it, so we are not the owner of the business. If it's not on the birth certificate, it's not on the statement of birth. If it's on the certificate of incorporation, which is the color of title or the copy that the government sends people to incorporate businesses, the government has the original. Point is, our signature is not there. So in that sense, we are not the owner of the business. But we are the ones doing the work in that name. So in that sense, it's like we are the employee. And now the employee at first might say, well, I don't want to be an employee, but the point of being an employee is it is the employees of the corporations. Remember, corporations exist in name only. They can do nothing. So as an employee of a business, we are the labor source. We are the ones doing the creating. We are the ones doing the serving, and that's what creators do. So it's not bad to be an employee. And again, I'm just using this as an analogy because I think it's the simplest one. So, and when you're working as an employee for your business, your registered business, which for the purpose of this is the name on your birth certificate, you're not working for the owner. You're not working for the party that registered it. You're working for that name, but you are not the owner. So there's three parties. Excuse me. There's three parties involved here. There's the owner of the business. There's the business, and then there's you, the employee. And the owner of the business is considered the business is the principal. Always the target. It's the business that gets the bills, not for the business, not the owner. Although they might come to the owner's address, but the bills are made out naming the name of the business. So again, we have a three-party situation here. We have the government as the owner, We have the name on the birth certificate. It's the business that they hold the title to. We are the employee. Now it's like a principal-agent situation where the business is the principal. We are the agent, but we are not the owner of any of that. So everything, anything and everything we do in that name, in fact, we are not the owners of. But again, we've come from that perspective in our minds that we own this and we own that. And so in evidence, we have taken on the appearance as the owner. Not in truth, but in conscious, in our beingness, in our actions. And so the fiduciary email has the effect of removing completely the concept that you're the owner of the business or that you are the business. And that essentially leaves us as the employee or the agent. And the agent is not responsible, the principal is. Again, in this case, it would be the name, but the name can't perform, and that's the owner's responsibility to perform the obligations, the financial and legal obligations associated with the business. The employee really does nothing except create. He expends his labor, and that's what God does, that's what creators do. So anyhow, that little business analogy there kind of should help put things in a little bit of perspective. So it's not that we're in the process, we're lowering ourselves. We shouldn't be perceiving it that way, but creators are, in fact, employees or servants. It's like a machine. It does what it does. It asks for nothing in return, and it just keeps pumping out widgets or whatever it's designed to do. People have unlimited potential, but it's essentially the same thing. So in that email text, the fiduciary is not the be-all, end-all. And it was, I think that was made clear in the email. It was just for... The purpose of that was to give people a new way of thinking and to put something on the table that does work and to introduce another way of doing things by taking ourselves out of the equation, really, and letting the facts speak for themselves. Now, there was three statements in there that, you know, we're not a party to the undertaking, didn't consent to the undertaking, and I am not the fiduciary. That has to come from you to let go of certain presumptions here. A lot of processes have been done where those things have not been nipped in the bud, and from the government's perspective or absence the evidence, they are of the belief that your mother and father gave you the name. The truth is, however, it never got to us, not the one on the paper anyhow, which is the one recognized in law, which is the one we're talking about here that is the business. If you look up the word gift in the law side of the forum, there's certain elements to be met that constitutes whether a thing is a gift or not, or whether the event even happened. And the proof of delivery is one of those. So for all intents and purposes, delivery has never been made because we do not have the statement of birth or the birth registration document. That's the document for the folks in other countries that is signed by the parents at some point shortly after the birth of the baby. And that's in the possession of the government. And the birth certificate is not proof of delivery of the name. It is simply an extract or an abstract of the statement of birth or the birth record. And an abstract is a color of title. It is not the title. It just points to where the title is. And again, we do not have it. But there's two, basically comes down to there's two types of gifting, and one is actual. Or if I'm giving someone a bicycle, I've actually made delivery of the bicycle to your possession. The other is called symbolic. And the example they use in the law books is very simple. If I was to give you a safety deposit box, I cannot make actual delivery of the safety deposit box to you because it's, for example, located in the bank. So what I can do is give you the key to the safety deposit box. And by giving you the key to the safety deposit box, that's what they call symbolic delivery. So there's actual and there's symbolic. So actual delivery has not occurred, but you could say that the birth certificate makes it appear as if symbolic delivery has occurred. In fact, it has not, but it can be perceived that way, and I believe that that's, in essence, that's what's going on. And so that's why it's absolutely necessary, in my view, and in my position anyhow, that I need to nip in the bud. I did not consent to that undertaking, or I did not consent to be a party to that statement of birth document, the instrument. I don't consent to the signatures on it. however you want to phrase that, that you're basically you're not a party to that, and I never received the gift, is what that text is saying in its present form as I sent it out. And again, that just leaves the birth certificate standing on its own now, and yes, we're in possession of the birth certificate, and at this point, we're basically the ones doing the work, the employee, the creator in that name. But at no time has title to the name actually passed to us, so we are not the owner of the business. So I thought it necessary to maybe share that, and that's the reason for this call, to share some of those perspectives. But if you do take the time to look up the word gift on the legal side of the fence, they explain it quite nicely, the different elements that have to be met. And I put things in another perspective here. If I was to go to my neighbor and give him a bike, using this bike as an example, it could be anything, but to give him, I actually make actual delivery of the bike into his possession, but I do not give him a piece of paper that indicates that I, so-and-so, have given so-and-so this bike and identified the bike. Absent that piece of paper, then the one I give the bike to really cannot prove that the bike was given. And this is the importance of the paperwork. The paperwork that evidences whether title has passed or not. However it got there doesn't matter. What matters is that the evidence indicates that my neighbor or whoever is in possession of that bike is actually can prove his right to use of the bike. Or possession of the bike. So, back to the text and the fiduciary email that I shared there last week, it really is a baby step. Again, it is not a be-all, end-all to all situations. It'll take care of if someone has a tax situation with Revenue Canada. I would take whatever they send you and send it right back to them with that text. If you get something from a court office, I would take what they send you and send it all back with that text. You do not scratch off the name or the phone number or address, whatever they put on there, no need to do that. The point I was expressing in the email is that nothing comes from your mind or your hand that says, here I am. And again, we shared emails a couple of months ago or even less where a friend of mine has a friend who works for the Canada Revenue Agency. She said, look, if you get something from us, don't send us a letter back. Just put some information on a post-it note and stick it to our letter and send it back. Whatever it is, the information put on the post-it note. But if you start putting down your name and your phone number and your address, you're more or less confirming that they've made delivery of that notice to you. Whereas if you don't do any of that stuff, and you just put a simple note on a piece of paper and put it back on their paper and send it back, the only thing in evidence is what they have. There has been no joinder in the situation. The exact same thing is the police. They need to hear a name come out of your mouth. That's why they ask you to identify yourself. Until a name comes out of your mouth, they really have nothing. It's all presumption at that point. And if you know what you're doing there, it would never stand up in court. In fact, I did that once. And it basically I had one question for the cop and asked if we ever met before, and he confirmed we never met before. So I said, well, how the heck do you know who I am then? That was the end of that. So the thing is in that text there, is really taking yourself out of the equation, and at the same time it's laying the truth on the table with respect to who does have title to that name. And there is no way, no how, anyone can point to the name on that statement of birth, which you know the names on the account are derived of the name appearing on that statement of birth. There is no way that anyone can say this is your name. Because it's not only are you not giving them the joinder, it is not the truth. We do not have possession of that statement of birth. We cannot prove title to that name. And that statement of birth is the title document, and that was the reason for the definition of property out of the criminal code. And again, that definition of property from the criminal code is not absolutely necessary. That was more there to draw the attention of people to get it in their heads what property is. Property can be not the actual physical thing itself, but the paper evidencing title or right to property. Okay, again, if I give my neighbor a bike and I give him a piece of paper, that paper evidences his title to the bike. He could pledge that bike as collateral to someone else on a piece of paper, and that would give them the right to the bike if he defaults on the loan, for example. So there's two titles there we're talking about, or two possibilities. In the government, in having possession of the title, and us having possession of the birth certificate, the title document or the statement of birth is what gives government ownership in law, and ownership simply means indicates who is responsible. That's all it means. The truth is that ownership, like I used to think it to be, which is mine, does really not exist. We own nothing. But in law, the term owner means that's the party that's responsible. And we can push *6 to mute out, just so you guys are aware. And if you want to be heard, you have to push, I guess, *6 again to unmute. We'll get to that when we get the question period. So, birth certificate, though. So the government has the statement of birth, and that evidences the title or ownership to the name. And the birth certificate indicates our right. Now, I'm not going to get into rights here because as a creator, as a God, I don't need rights. I create rights. You know, again, we're at the top of the chain here, so I don't communicate to my servants that I have a right to something, because I know that my servants don't have a right to it. But in law, these are the things that they're looking for and looking at. And so the fact that we are in possession of the birth certificate, and we know we don't hold title to the name on it, that we're not the owner of the business, the actual fact that we have possession of the birth certificate does entitle us to something here. It entitles us to money, which is not the subject of this conversation or any of my conversations, is that it entitles one to a right to recover money or to receive goods. I prefer to view it as it identifies me as the one doing the work for the business. Not the owner, the one doing the work. Not the owner, the agent. And again, when you're dealing in a principal-agent situation, at no time is the agent responsible for the undertakings or things associated with the business. That is the principal's responsibility. If you look up terms like vicarious liability, and another term, I don't know if I pronounce this correct, but it's respondeat superior, basically vicarious liability and respondeat superior are the same thing, and that's basically saying that if an employee is doing something for the company and there's some kind of situation happens, ultimately the company is on the hook for things that are done while by the agent while performing his duty in relation to the business, that is. With you and I, that's 24/7, 365. If you're working for a company like General Motors, you're there for 8 hours of the day, but after you leave there, you're on your own. You're not working for General Motors anymore, so what you do at that point, you're responsible for. But because everything here in commerce and law is being done in this legal name that we don't hold title to, we are, in fact, agents, if you will, 24/7, 365. And I'm by no means suggesting here in this call by using these terms principal and agent that you indicate the government as the principal or the business as the principal or yourself as an agent. I'm just using those terms so we can have distinctions in the mind with the parties and their different perspectives where they belong on the board, if you will. So, anyhow, that's kind of the foundation for the whole concept of that text we're talking about here for purposes of this call. And I think I've really said all I need to say on that. The rest is really up to the individual to internalize, to have it within himself. You can know who you are, your God, your creator, you're above the servants, you're above the titles, you're above the offices, the officers, all of that stuff. And not in an upper-handed way, but we're above that, but we're also servants at the same time. As creators, that's what creators do. And the other thing is, in my perspective, there's no need to come from a perspective here that you want to get something out of this. That is living in denial that you've already received. That, in part, is what puts up the barrier. Well, if the administrator is on, he can override that and mute everyone out, so that static doesn't have to happen. So anyhow, we're taking ourselves out of the equation. We're not coming from a perspective that I'm old or I'm doing this for me. We're just simply laying the truth on the table. Is the viewpoint of this thing. It's not to get something out of it. If you think you have to get something out of it, then you're living in denial that you've already received. The entire system is credit. The credit is already there. That's what's funding the system. When you get a bill from whoever, whatever, it's not a bill, it's a statement. It's just basically letting you know that they have charged the credit fund, the one big pool, if you will, through that name to provide the services. So if you get a statement from a hydro company that's worth, that says we've delivered to you $100 worth of hydro, really what they're telling you is we've already got the $100 to provide the service. And where we got messed up is on the little down at the bottom, the payment portion there says, you know, send in your check or send in a payment, whatever. And I was really a test, I think, to evolved somehow, but it was a test of sorts to see what you're going to do. And the fact that we made payment was clear evidence that we do not know who we are. But a bill, what people think are bills, are not bills. They are statements. So the system doesn't need any credit from you. It already has it. And remember, we created the system to serve us, so we provided everything, if you've forgotten all of this, but we provided everything is in place so that we can receive. But so long as we're coming from an owner perspective or coming from I don't have perspective or I need to ask rather than give thanks, then we're in denial that we've already received. And this, again, is a reason for coming from the higher perspective and understanding that everything already is. The only thing that isn't is maybe some kind of new widget. It just doesn't come into the consciousness yet, but it's these things are all there. We do not have to come from the perspective that I'm old or I'm here to get something. We're here to serve and let the truth speak. And again, the truth in this case is the statement of birth and the fact that none of us are a party to it. Our signature is not there. So getting back to that text, as we're making that clear that we were in a party to that situation, and the one thing that wasn't there that will be added to the final step is that neither do I own any property in that name or any name derived of the statement of birth. We won't go too much down that road, but that's another element that for the final phase here that has to be put clear on the table. Because the truth is, billions of people believe they own, and I'm sure lots of you have talked to your friends about this and said, well, you know what, you don't actually own your house or you don't actually own your car. And a lot of people will go into spaz mode over that and argue for their enslavement that, yes, they do own that house, they do own the car. And that includes a lot of our servants. But when we're working with the truth, with the people that have the truth, no, in fact, that you do not own anything because the truth is you don't have title to the name. In other words, if you're driving a car that is registered to my business, even in your mind you could believe it's your car, but the truth of the matter is it's not. It belongs to my business. And I'm just using the example when I had a business called Beck Electronics. We had people driving our vehicles, but at no time did they ever act like it was their vehicle. They could. But the fact and point in law is, in truth, is that at no time would they be the actual owner. But they could believe they are. And that's really where we've all come from, is believing that we're the owners, and pretty well everyone out there believes that. So that's part of the aspect that has got to be nipped in the bud. And the thing is no one can come back to you and say, with that truth on the table, and say that you are the owner. It's impossible. Because, again, we were not a party to that whole that undertaking. Therefore, in truth, we are not the owner of anything in the name that's appearing on your birth certificate. And the name on that, of course, is on the account. So they're all derived of that title document, which is the statement of birth. We'll just call that the instrument. So the truth is we own nothing, but we have to get that on the table so that once it's been said, it's been said. In conjunction with the truth, and that is who holds the title to the name. that tax is really is a, is a, I like to call it a little bit of a baby step. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, it's the second last step. There's one more step to be taken. Some people may have already taken it by looking at that and put two and two together in the minds what else has to be done. And I just kind of shared a little bit more, and that is the ownership aspect, which was not covered in that text because that text, again, was sent out for purposes of dealing with the phone company and hydro bills and even tax matters for that matter or court matters. Or you're getting something from Canada Revenue, you would send it right back to them or... At that point in time, it's not about ownership of property. It's just dealing with, look, it's not my money, man. Not me. I'm not the owner of the business. And the same with the court stuff. So that was really, again, really set up as a baby step, not to be all end all. But I can tell you from my own perspective that the next step is in the works right now. And most of my delay in sending it out is I'm still sitting back and looking at me and how I'm conveying this information and why I'm conveying this information and realizing still there's a little bit in me that wants to kind of manipulate the words on the paper to make sure that somehow I get something out of it. I'm really struggling with that part, as I suspect many people will. But the thing is in doing that, I am denying that I'm a creator, and I know that. There's still this tendency to want to add a couple more words in there just to put it in there. So I got to make sure I nip it in the bud that, yeah, it's not my business, but I want something in return, and I have to get rid of that. So that's my reason why I haven't sent anything out, which I consider the final step to put the closure to the whole thing. And in respect of that, it's kind of starting off with there's either a mistake. If you look up the go on the internet and look up the word mistake, it's actually called the law of mistake. And it's just dealing with erroneous beliefs. And lots of people out there will say that you're the name on the birth certificate, or that's you, or that's your name and all this stuff, but all of that is an erroneous belief. And so there's the law of mistake, or expressing there's a mistake here. And it's either a mistake or there's a fraud. All it comes down to. And that's basically the introductory to my next phase, excuse me, in communicating back to the government at upper levels of government with respect to getting the business owner to step up to the plate and take responsibility. It's opening up, and there's either a mistake here or fraud. But I'm definitely coming from the perspective that I don't care. Point is, it's not my business. But now it's giving them something to look at to start with, to kind of grab on with the mind. Well, it's either a mistake, as he's giving us a way out, or it's fraud. And but those are the only two possibilities when you really get right down to it. There's either a mistake or there's a fraud. This whole situation, when it's not about pointing fingers, just getting that on the paper. So that the mistake or the fraud can be fixed. But I'm not instructing anyone here on what to do. Just putting the facts and the truth on the table, and I'm letting the facts and the truth, which is the statement of birth, not even my paperwork, speak for itself. So there's that element, and then, as I say, there's the element of I don't own any property in any name derived of that statement of birth. That nips in the bud the concept that I'm the owner of something. Right at that point in time, aside from what the truth says, I do not have legal title, and I do not have equitable title. I'm just the employee of the company doing work. And all the responsibility now that we're presently bearing shifts 180 degrees, so it goes back to the what I'm calling, for purposes of this, the owner of the business. We're just simply talking what exists in form, what's on the paper here, not in the bigger picture. In the bigger picture, we're all heirs in common, or we all have dominion over the earth. We share all the fruits of the earth collectively, so we're all owners in that. But on this, we're talking about what exists in law, which is stuff on paper, the form. So So there's the substance and the form situation, I guess, is what the simplest way to break it down. So, but regardless of what words we put on paper, who we are at the time, looking at thyself and knowing thyself, I'm not sure how to put that in perspective in words here, but who and what we are at the time will determine how the words appear on that paper. And if we're coming from the higher vibration of love or God, then it's very simple. Because you're realizing at that point that everything here you have created, including the government, including the lawyers, the attorney generals, the ministers, the doctors, all of them. And as part of our creation, we have to serve our creation. And our creation cannot serve us if we don't serve it. And I know I've shared this many times, but the body is simply a tool through which the soul of God creates and experiences. So though God has no expectations of a return, the purpose of all this is that God realizes on the experiences that the human body has that cannot be had any other way. And the name is simply an extension of that, but so we have to look at that everything that we see outside of us is part of our creation. And if we serve our creation, then our creation can serve us, just like in God creating this whole alleged reality and then creating a human form. I'm not going to get into all the technicalities of that, doesn't matter, but in creating the human form, without the human form, God cannot have the human experience, is the best way to put it. So there's no motive there, it's just part of a plan. So, but God did not create the human form with the expectation of receiving anything, but he does receive the benefit of the human experience. We all do. Keeping in mind, there is only really one. There's no them or us. Them is us. So we're here in this physical world, and we have physical entities and organizations and words on paper to deal with. So when we're coming from that higher vibration, that God, creator of this world perspective, if you will, and creator of the everything, converting the resources into tangible assets, usable assets, goods and service, so on and so forth. As a conversation with God would say, if you want to receive, you have to first give. And another reason we can't be coming from a perspective, what can I get out of this? Although it may not appear so on paper, it's actually putting up a barrier to receiving. It's in denial that we've already created everything we need is already here for ourselves. As Abraham says, we are so free, we chose bondage. And people say, well, I didn't choose this. But the truth is, we all did. And maybe not consciously, but in our actions and what we do and our beliefs, on paper, and being honest with myself, certainly my former self, whoever that is, wherever he is, did believe, you know, pride of ownership, my car, my house, my money, my bank account, my credit card, my. So I can't blame anyone else for that. It was just where I was out of my consciousness, and I know lots of other people are. And again, lots of people I talk to, I don't talk to many people about this anymore on the ownership side of things, because a lot of people will go into a spasm mode when you tell them that they don't actually own their house or don't own their car. But anyhow, that's what that text is doing there. It's not asking for anything in return. It's just simply laying the truth on the table. And using their own proof, their own evidence, not my business, your business, take care of these things. And the only thing I didn't put in that text was exactly who to send things to, because I don't know what issues you have. If you have an issue from the tax man, then you should be able to deduce, well, this is an issue directly from the tax man, that's the government place, I'm going to send this right back to them. If you get something from a court, you would send it right back to the court. If you have a hydro bill, there's nothing to stop you from sending it to Hydro or your phone company. That same text right back to them with this truth. However, I chose not to do that because that's not going to put the be-all, end-all for me, but anyone can do that because that was really the purpose of that text, was to take care of certain obligations right now to get them off your back and to show you that this works. It was not meant and is not meant as the final step to put a, you know, so that they're going to phone you up and get you a house and a car and all of this stuff. Like, we've come from that perspective so often. What can I get out of this? If we start to give, then we can start to receive. And it will just happen. not something that we can force. We have to force it again. We're not realizing that we've created all of that what is, and everything is already there for us. It was never intended, as Judy Hartman says, that a birth certificate, personal identification. Everyone I know has treated it as such, and that's what brought on the concept of the responsibility of ownership. That's why you pay property taxes. It's your house. In your mind. But on paper, it's not. So that text, anyhow, was a very simple way of just getting the truth on the table and leaving it at that. With no expectation of any return, just knowing that the truth is going to work and that the truth is going to get these smaller situations, whatever you want to call them, to be dealt with. And perhaps through that process, I'm not saying, but perhaps through that process, you may get contacted by the owner of the business. That's not the intent of that email, and not to say that people can't make their own mind and adjustments to it to pursue that, but that's a possibility. It may happen, but that was really not the intent there on that text. Again, my intent when I sent it out was just some baby steps to introduce. I'll just take myself right out of the equation and just send these things in there with the truth on the table, saying, I'm not a party to this, man, not my business. Contact the owner, who I refer to as the undertaker. The word undertaking, by the way, relates to an enterprise, which, if you read in the law book, relates to a going concern, which is a business situation. And that's definitely what all these names are for. They're all for business purposes. If we all knew we were one, we wouldn't need those names, but for the time being, we're not there yet, so we need these names, and they are names used in commerce, if you will, or for business purposes. So, and the other thing is, to clarify, is there's no need to, since we are creators, we don't need to go to the law books and dig out the definitions and understand law and come across like we're legal experts and quote and reference law and legal definitions. Show these guys how smart we are. Again, as a creator, that's not our concern. So for the most part, when I put these things out there in email or even in that text, it's just to give you an idea, something to grab onto what's going on, but not to rely on it. And sometimes it's used to remind our government servants, if you will, the civil servants, what their laws, how their law speaks to them. That's not something I quote to rely on for my purposes. Not about that. And if you use that text properly as it's scribed out there, it does work 100%. So that's not to say you won't get a response, but remember, if you get a response, in your mind, if you're thinking they're talking to you, is your problem, is your first problem. They're not talking to you. They're talking to the name, and it's up to you to know that. If you are not a name. You're addressing it to, Vic Beck. I think I'm Vic Beck. Well, then I think they're talking to me. And then the you they talk about in the letter, that's talked about in the letter, I think is referring to me. But I know for a fact that whoever sent the letter has never met me, has no idea who I am. So I am not the you mentioned in those letters. The name is. That's what's recognized in law. So if you send that thing out and you do get a response, it's a test. See, folks in the system have caught on that a lot of people do things because they get information off the internet, not because they've discovered any truth or because they have internalized it within them or just that their consciousness is in any way. So it's a bit of a test. If you really know who you are, then you know how to deal with that response. And there could be a third response. Speaking for myself, it's never gone past three responses. So it's like strike three, you're out. So a couple examples years back when I was early in this game, but I was getting a call from a collection agency, and so one day they called, and they asked for Victor Beck, and I said, that's the name for a business. Can I help you? And of course, that threw her off, and she basically hung up. Called back the next day and the same thing. Victor Beck there, please. I said, I told you, did we not talk yesterday? I told you that's the name for business. Can I help you? And she called back again the same day, a third time. So I just repeated exactly what I said at the two previous conversations, and that was the end of it. Never heard from them again. So expect these things, but understand who you are in the equation, and they are not talking to you. I perceive it that it's a test to see if you know who you are, and nothing more. We look at that first landlord-tenant case that happened about 5 years ago now, I think, maybe six. All that man did, what that man did in that landlord-tenant case, he put a name into the court file, and he signed in as the alleged tenant. That's all he did. And I don't know how you can accomplish what he did or what we're trying to accomplish by doing any less than that. That was the bare minimum of what can be done to free himself as being a tenant and the obligation to pay rent. Now, I think in that case was a bit of a fluke there that the events played out the way they did, and the point is that he did put the document of title into evidence, and he did sign in as the alleged tenant. And once he had done that, the government lawyer would appear, and the first thing the lawyer said, do you mind if I call you Johnny? He didn't assume anything here. He asked. He had to ask at that point because they have the document of title to the name, and not knowing what Johnny knew or not, he couldn't assume that the man that had signed in as the alleged tenant, that his name is Johnny. For him to go and approach him as Johnny is almost a form of entrapment, is to identify him off of that document title to the name, which does not identify the man, it identifies the name. And of course, the lawyer asked, once they had established that he could call him Johnny, call the man Johnny. Remember, Johnny is not Johnny. Johnny is a man, and Johnny's just a name for communication purposes. So it's just like some people on the call here tonight, and this is not disrespectful, but when you say, I'm Steve, or I'm Jim, you're really going to start thinking about that for a moment. I'm man, called Jim, or something like that. Mainly in your mind. We don't need to do it amongst ourselves here, because we know it's not binding upon ourselves in any way, but certainly when you're dealing in law, or the agents, you want to be very careful with those things. Our title is man. God created man. He did not create Adam. He did not create Eve. He created man. Man created Adam and Eve, names. And named all things, as we know, including titles for offices. So it's important to have it within yourself, knowing who you are, and again, that you are not the you mentioned in those letters. Those letters are talking to the name. And do be prepared for a test. It's just to see if you really know who you are. And you're testing yourself. Because again, when you're sending out your letter, you're sending it to something you created. How your creation is going to behave is exactly how you're behaving at that moment. Who and what you are. And a lot of times we're not aware of who and what we really are. We think we're something, but really we're not. So there's really a conscious awareness of and being honest with oneself. And somehow, and I like the way conversation with God says that you really have two minds there. You have the true spirit mind, but you also have the ego mind. And we have to distinct between which mind is doing the talking here. That's why it's more of the... We have to relate that to the feelings we're having. Right? We have to be very aware of, is this voice coming from my mind, my ego, or is it coming from the divine? And I think, speaking for myself, most times it's coming from my mind. So that's why I was fortunate the last couple of weeks to be up north and basically just without any other human beings around and just nature and... In that state, there's no distractions, able to sit back and think, and just little realizations come to mind from time to time. That I started to become more and more aware that as much as I think I'm this, I'm not. Again, I can't put that in words, in particular experiences. So anyhow, in that fiduciary thing, the only thing that we're really saying is in those three sentences there is that we're not party to the undertaking, don't consent to be a party to the undertaking, and I'm not a fiduciary or trustee. in addition to that, in the final step, would be, nor am I an owner of any property in that or any name derived of the statement of birth. That kills the concept that you're the owner of anything. Coupled with the fact that the government has the title to the name, making it, for all intents and purposes, the owner of the business, now takes all of the burdens off your back and shifts it to where you intended it to be. That's why we created the government as our servant, so that the people that play those roles, not that we're burdening them, we're burdening the offices. And we created them for that purpose. Someone's doing some scratching. If you could push star 6, it'd be a bit quieter. So don't look at it that we're shifting responsibility on any human beings. We're just simply shifting it to an office that we created to serve us, whatever office that might be. But until you get the monkey off your back and put it where we intended it to be, the legal responsibilities will not shift. You will not be free of those burdens. So anyway, I think I've said enough. If maybe now's a good time, and if there's questions, it would be a good time to do that. You have to press star 6, of course, to be heard.
I'm wondering what your thoughts are on a situation where you would have a joint account where, let's say, one party's on board and one isn't.
Well, a couple things there. Get a divorce. I'm kidding. In respect, and put that in context for me.
Well, I thought about that a little bit, and you're saying, okay, well, there's two names on the statement or the account or whatever it is. I guess my initial thought on it is it shouldn't matter how many names are on it, as long as one of the parties named on it does this, because at the end of the day, if you look at it sort of a quote-unquote normal situation, it doesn't matter how many names are on the account. Whatever company is making the claim, they don't care who pays. It may not even be one of the parties named on there. As long as they get paid, they don't really care.
Exactly, and that's the answer to the question.
Okay.
So as long as one does it, then like you say, it doesn't matter where the payment comes from as long as they get paid. So it's not like they're going to split the liability 50-50 and say, okay, we'll take care of half of it, but we never heard from her, so we can't take care of the other half.
Right.
So it would be, we answered that question, it would all be dealt with. Surely some people must have some questions.
Hello, Vic.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm Tom Pimpernel. The last caller had that question about a liability. As you mentioned, all the savings come in, and really, it's already really been paid. It's coming from the unlimited credit.
Yep.
That's right. So we're just sort of on a fishing expedition to see how we respond.
Absolutely, if we know who we are.
Right. Okay, so actually, you could probably use some of that text, as you mentioned, to, send it right back to them, and then they could deal with the owner or the principal.
Yep, I'm not hearing you real loud and clear here, but
yeah,
no need to point.
You could send back the statement. They're just giving you an overview of the accounting, what took place, right?
Oh, absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. You would send back with that letter, whatever, a hydro statement or a telephone statement or whatever statement it is.
Right.
You send back the whole statement, and you don't scratch off the name and the phone number and address that they have on there.
Correct. Right. You probably might put some, would you just attach a note to their statement?
Well, you could take that text I sent and just type that out and stick it to it, or you can write it by hand. It's your choice. Personally, I prefer to just do it by machine.
Yeah, right.
Type it on a white piece of paper and staple it to it and send it in.
Right, and obviously the weight of any attachment to what you're using yourself as a name or a location for yourself.
Yeah, you don't need that.
No, you just put it back in your envelope, return to sender.
Well, I wouldn't put return to sender. I would just, you could do that, I suppose, but if you want to save the postage, but I wouldn't have a problem putting it in an envelope. Actually, the return to sender is not a bad idea.
Yeah, maybe, then it's really anonymous, right?
Yep.
Right.
And it'll get to the sender. If it doesn't, then you'll know the next time. If you get a statement the following month, you don't know for sure that they got your letter or not, but you can just do it again.
No, that's right. And could I ask another two questions?
Absolutely.
Sorry, can we keep it short? Most of us have received property notices, which are really just a notice. I don't think they're actually a bill.
For property taxes?
Well,
yeah, sort of like a contract, I guess. Property notice, I guess that would sort of mean like a contract.
Or what?
Well, okay, so you're, you know, you're, most of this come from the mentality that, you know, we think you're owners of some kind of property, so they, because of that, we get property notices for the tax you have to pay every year.
Yeah, property taxes, okay, yep.
Right. So, really, you could probably send that right back to the Ministry of Finance here in British Columbia with the same sort of text. And really, all the property is in the registered name of the business.
Oh, everything is. Anything that's in the name off of that statement of birth, you don't own it.
Yeah, well, and it's actually quite right. When you wake up, you realize that, you know, I've been operating sort of the business or in registering everything or under that name of the business, I really don't have anything.
Nope.
That's fine. That's, I mean, if you got the use of it, that'd be good.
Well, that's all we're intended to have here, and the accounting is not our responsibility, but we took it on when we became the owner. And again, it's the owner in law that's recognized as responsible, you'll see, and that's why we keep getting the paperwork.
Yeah, that's right, and I think this is something kind of out of order, the fact that, you know, if you're the employee of the business, putting in a lot of your energy into it, but for all these years, you've been also being liable for all the things to pay for, right?
Well, that's why the paperwork is coming to us, because we're perceived as the owner.
That's right. So
not necessarily of the property, but of the business.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Which brings all the ownership of property with it. But it's the business that owns the property, not you and I, but we're perceived as the owner of the business, ultimately.
Yeah, right. So in my case is that, you know, I've made significant improvements to the property, which is in the business name, right? Well, obviously, that's an increase of tax payable, but I mean, obviously, if I just really want to be here for the benefit of the use of it, then that's fine. Send those notices back to them with the text, and it should handle itself.
Oh, yeah, no problem. And the thing is, it's not like the government doesn't know who we are. It's us that doesn't know who we are.
Well, they've got to know, because sometimes they end up phoning, and they're not always talking to
you. Can you restate what he has said? Because he's so weak, we can hardly
hear. Yeah, can you
hear.
Speak a little louder?
Yeah,
that would really help everybody.
I'll review it. But again, just before I do, it's exactly going back to that first landlord-tenant case. All he did was put in the statement of birth into the court file and signed in as the alleged tenant. He didn't produce a birth certificate or use anything else or say anything else, and the government stepped in to pick up the responsibility. So what this gentleman was talking about is the property tax bills for the house. And just to clarify, when I'm talking here, right now we're perceived as the owner of the business, which means we have the responsibility to take care of the paperwork. And so really what we're nipping in the bud is that we are not the owner of the business. And if you're not the owner of the business, then it's not your house. It never is your house, because the house is registered to the business, but it's the owner of the business the part that's got us here, and it is the owner of the business that's responsible. Again, when I was incorporated businesses, you know, I put myself down as the president, here's the name, here's the address. So all the tax papers would come addressed to the business, care of Victor Beck, because the business itself cannot perform, and someone has to be on the hook to perform for it. And again, that was done by my signature, so I voluntarily took on that responsibility to do that when I incorporated or registered the business, which is what I wanted to do, neither good nor bad. Same would go with this whole situation here. Again, that's why I use the analogy that the name on your birth certificate, which is derived of the statement of birth, is the business, and all property is registered in that business. The only question is really at the end of the day is who is the owner of that business? And we did not register the business. Our signature is not there. That's why we're saying we're not a party to or did not consent to be a party to that undertaking, is basically in putting that evidence in the play there now, the statement of birth, indicating who the owner of the business is and where the paperwork should be going. Whether it be a tax bill, a property tax bill, like I say, court stuff, CRA or income tax matters, it doesn't matter. Anything you get in the mail that's addressed to that legal name is what we're talking about here.
Right.
We're all receiving it because we're perceived as the owner of the business at the end of the day, or we're perceived as the name.
Vic.
Hello?
Yep. Sorry, I'm not sure if that gentleman's done yet.
No, I had to one more. So most of us, you know, had some kind of conveyance, you know, through the legal office or a lawyer, when we thought we were actually purchasing property. You know, we sort of signed, I guess we signed on the behalf of the business, not knowing really who we were at the time. So I guess, in essence, in the future, we probably may be still signing as agents, you know, or something like that. You still have to have, I guess, a driver's license, I guess.
Well, we don't. That's the other thing. A lot of people are catching on to that, and they say we don't. We, as the creator here, do not need permission from ourselves. Remember, we created the government. We do not need permission to use our roads, things we created.
No. Okay.
So I'm not telling people to throw the license in the garbage and not carry one. I'm just saying that we do not need permission to use our roads. They say if the highways belong to the king, well, that would be us. That's what they say in Canada. You're on the king's highway. Yeah, I'm the king. So what? I don't need a license to use my highway.
Very well put.
You know, that's what's in my mind, and coming from that perspective, I'm not saying I would talk to the cop that way, but that's what I'm saying.
Right.
And remember, we created this whole thing, so we don't need permission to use any part of it. Our existence is our permission. But the fact that we applied for licenses is further evidence we don't know who we are, rather than before we applied for the license. If we had known who we are, we would have questioned it then, just like if we're buying a house now, and you know who you are, would be a good time to express it not only to the real estate people, but for sure the lawyer that's going to be doing the closing.
Exactly.
If you don't do that, then he's going to treat it that you're the purchaser, that you're the owner, and you're going to get the tax bills.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But yeah, but Vic, sorry to interrupt, but Vic, wouldn't you handle all that, what we're doing right now, before you buy a house, so that won't come up?
Well, if you don't, you know what's going to happen. All I'm saying is, and I'm not here to tell people about how to go and buy a house, but if you go to purchase a home and you do it the same way you've done it in the past, you will be perceived as the owner. You will get the tax bill.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same because nothing's changed.
You will apply for the mortgage. You will put yourself on the hook to repay that mortgage, plus interest and all of that stuff. So I guess the answer is if you're considering these things, then yes, you want to get the truth on the table before you enter into the agreement so you don't have to undo it later.
How would you actually go into the agreement when you've done what we're talking about tonight? Like once it's all known, I guess actually the government just picks up the tab.
Well, you're going to be interfacing with a lawyer at some point in time here, so that's,
yeah.
In my view, that's the guy to make it important to. In fact, I would even start with the real estate people. You don't have to get into a long story with the real estate. You just say, I'm not the purchaser here, or whatever, but I'm not concerned much about the real estate, but the lawyer is the one that's going to do the paperwork, and he would be the one that if you're going to raise this issue, that is the time to do it and do it with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how you do that, I don't really want to get into that in this call because I think at the end of the day is, I shouldn't say this, but because it may not be correct, but my point is it's to communicate back to the government to put things in perspective. It's your business, not mine.
It's the KISS theory.
And let me share that. 5 years ago, I sent a letter for a friend who had just received a letter from a lawyer demanding on a $22,000 line of credit. And so we took that letter from the lawyer, and I drafted up a very short letter and addressed it to the Minister of Government Services, and it basically said, referencing the statement of birth, you guys did this, settle up with the bank. So 10 days after we sent the letter, he did get a phone call from that ministry, from a lady at the ministry, saying, just calling to confirm your address, we need you to sign something.
Huh.
You know, the letter never came, and I had a feeling that there was something lacking in our thinking and our process there, but we did call her back and said the letter never came. She was surprised that it didn't come, but she explained that when the letter got to the ministry, it was sent down to her to type it up, and then it went back upstairs, and I don't know, but I suspect it went back upstairs to legal, and legal looked at it and said, close, but no cigar. Okay, had we, for example, brought into the information there that we are not a party to that undertaking. I didn't consent to be a party to that undertaking. I'm not the fiduciary. I'm not the trustee. I don't own any property. That there might have nipped it in the bud. Because the presumption is that you're either the owner of the property or that you did receive the name. Especially in his case, when we sent the letter, it used the name, just say Joe Blow. which is not intended to be the same as the one on the statement of birth, but it, perceptually it could be. We didn't nip it in the bud. See, it's not common knowledge that about this name stuff. If it was common knowledge, then the whole thing would be fraud. We got to remember here that most people, when they go in to buy something, they actually believe that they're buying it for themselves, that they own it, and that's the common consciousness, I guess, to call it. And so we have to be aware of that and respect that, and be aware that we got to get through some fog here. And so, anyhow, in answer to the question, if you're going to do a real estate thing, and that's not the purpose of this call on how to do that, but, you would certainly want to raise that right up front with the lawyer. And whether or not he believes you or not, you just lay it out however you do, and you tell him, well, and then you check it out. You contact the government of Ontario, and you ask them, have them put it in writing that I am the owner of this business, or however you wanted to deal with that, that it is my name, that I'm the owner of the name, that I have title to the name, however you want to work on that. And as far as going and open up a bank account, not your business. I would not be using this to open up bank accounts. No, the credit is already there somewhere else. We don't need to have a bank account. Going and opening up a bank account, in my view, is putting things out of whack here. The employee of the company does not open bank accounts. The owner of the company does. And if the employee needs, like a business credit card, then the employer would, or the owner would take care of somebody responsible for the owner of the company would take care of that.
So basically, it all boils down to the same type of thing. You still have to go back, and you have to handle the situation with the government so that it is understood that we know who we are who we are, and it's handled from that respect, as opposed to being handled by an individual opening up a bank account or buying a car or buying a house. It's all got to go back before that.
Yep, so you could communicate directly to the government about this, or you could communicate through a lawyer about this. But I think we want to first establish who we are and who the owner of the business is, and then the cards will fall accordingly.
Yeah, and that's to the government.
Yep, and that's what I'm saying. Whether you communicate directly with the government or you have a lawyer do it for you, one way or another.
I do it myself because I am me. If you get a lawyer, you're using their system again. I'm not into that. I do it myself.
Yeah, well, just to clarify on that, though, I see no
sure.
problem with the lawyer. You're just making sure you indicate who you are, because you're there to put the truth on the table. In other words, it's
right.
Kind of like you're going in, look, I've been treated as the owner of this business here, but here's the proof that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to contact the owner of the business and see how they want to handle this transaction.
Hmm. One point, can I just mention something? There's a gentleman earlier was talking about, you're talking about envelopes and sending envelopes back and forth. There's somebody I know, what they do is they have a stamp, and they were putting the stamp on the envelope, goes back, it's perfect. It was perfect. Go right back to whoever it was who sent the letter, and the stamp was really good, and they never contacted him again. I just thought I'd mention that because I know you've been talking about having stickers, write on stickers, and put the sticker on the envelope and sending it back.
No, we weren't talking about stickers on the envelope. You were just talking and put it back in the same envelope you received
yeah.
it in and just put nobody here, whatever, return to sender.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back in the mailbox. No,
okay.
Vic?
Anybody else had a question?
Vic?
Yes.
Just to clarify this, if we get a statement from Ontario Hydro, we just put that information and send it back to Ontario Hydro, and then Ontario Hydro is going to contact the proper officials in the government, or should we send it, let's say, to the Ministry of Finance on Queen's Park in Toronto, if your birth certificate's from Ontario, go from the government, and the government contacts Ontario Hydro?
Yeah, well, I'm not really suggesting which way to go. I see no reason why, remember, part of this enclosure, you're including a copy of the statement of birth, which is the evidence the instrument talked about in that text there.
Or right, but my concern is Ontario Hydro wouldn't know what to do with it, because if normally a corporation gets a bill, it's taken to the accountant, and it isn't sent back to the person that's sending the bill.
Well, I know what you're saying. The thing is, we don't know what Hydro knows. We don't know what these major corporations know. Like, if you were to send it to my little business, it may not go anywhere. But if you're sent to one of these major corporations, we don't actually know what they know. So I'm not saying you send it back to Hydro. I'm not saying you don't send it to Hydro.
Right.
But my experience last summer was in dealing through the local member of provincial parliament, a series of letters, and it was after the third letter that ever since then I used the toll highway here in Ontario, which is a pay-per-kilometer situation.
Right.
As you know, I'm not getting any paperwork on that. I use the highway and I get nothing. I don't see any paperwork whatsoever. And that has been my objective for 8 years, is to get into that position on all accounts. I am not the owner of the business. I don't want to see any paperwork. I do the work for the business. I'm the employee of the business. And because now I'm working for free for the business can serve me for free. And whatever paperwork has to transpire to do the accounting and all of that and settling of the accounts has nothing to do with me. But the thing is and I'm not even saying it's the Minister of Finance, but you could certainly do that. I don't take it as a source at the end of the day.
Well, why I said Ministry of Finance is because of the consolidated fund they have that's set up, apparently.
Yep.
And I don't know whether, I think they're the ones that are in charge of that, or do they do the audits or the instructions. So that's why I'm assuming it's the Ontario Ministry of Finance.
Yep, and I'm not assuming anything, but I'm doing my best not to assume anything. But having said that, I probably am. But I think as long as you get it to some government official that makes sense, like Ministry of Finance, Attorney General, Minister of Government Services, or even your local member of provincial parliament, put it in his lap as a representative of that government, and you could just put in your letter like I did in an email. Like, I don't know who should receive this, but you're a member of the government. You can figure it out and get it to that party.
Because once you know what that party is, and then all you got to do is just file all your bills to that particular department.
Yeah, well, the thing is, though, is I think eventually is once you get, see, there's other issues here, is once you get that truth on the table, can they really pretend they didn't receive it and don't know? Because if it applies on this account, it applies to all accounts, right?
Right.
So it wouldn't make sense to me as you could do that, let's say, in your hydro bill, and that's, you should no longer receive the hydro bill. And you can send in your phone bill, and you should no longer receive the phone bill, and all of these other bills one by one, or send them all at the same time.
Right.
Again, all we're talking about here in this call is dealing with these accounts one by one, or these smaller accounts. It's not really meant to deal with the bigger picture where the government steps up to the plate and says, yep, we're the owner of the business, here's the golden credit card, or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it doesn't mean that this process would not evolve to that.
Right. Now, when you say you're returning the in the envelope they sent you, but if you're going to send this information, would you put, you say don't put your name and address on there? Would you put an address on the outside, a return address on the outside envelope, or no?
I don't see any harm in doing that. In fact, I don't see any harm in where I'm evolving on all of this. I don't see any harm in putting even a name on there anymore, because the truth is the name we're talking about is the one on that document of title.
Right.
And when you clarify, you know, that text there is really clarifying. And then, and like I say, in addition, I'm not the owner of any property in that name. We're really identifying that that name, in other words, the reason for mistake, when I mentioned the word mistake before, is to see, I could say my name is Victor Beck, but they're mistaking me to be that Victor Beck.
Right.
Okay, and the truth is, at the end of the day, I can't be that Victor Beck, because I don't have the title to that. I am not property of the government. If I am to say I am Victor Beck, or someone says I am that Victor Beck, and someone else holds title to that name, basically what they're saying is they hold title to my body, which is not the truth.
Right.
But if I want to do that to myself, that's up to me. I can do that. But that's the whole idea of the mistake. In fact, I had this conversation with Brent was with me, actually. He went to Ottawa there to see about remission of taxes. And when Brent, the guys are having a little bit of a brain lock, but when Brent piped up and said, he basically said he's Victor Beck, but not that Victor Beck. And then that guy said, oh, well, that makes sense. They can grab onto that. So that's the purpose of mistake, because most of us go around and give a name out of our mouths, but the name that we're giving out of our mouths is not the name that's on that statement of birth that the government holds title to. The name out of our mouths is not the business. It is not the name that's recognized in law. It is not the owner of anything. So that's where the mistake comes into play.
So when we're signing a passport or a driver's license, we shouldn't be signing anything.
That's right.
Or any document, including income tax. We shouldn't be signing that form.
No, if it's not your business, why would you even be dealing with the form is the point.
Exactly.
It's like if you're an employee for my business and they mistakenly and they send the tax bill to your place, you would scratch your head and say, why are they sending this to me? I'm not the owner.
That's true.
It's really that simple, but we're
that's exactly what's happening.
Exactly.
Exactly what's happening. On everything, credit cards, everything.
All of it.
So when you sign for it, you're volunteering to pay for it.
No, you're bringing on, you're doing something that was never intended to do. Remember, Judy Hartman said a birth certificate is not, it was never intended to be personal identification. Say it was never intended that you be recognized as the owner of this business. However, if you want to, if you want to play that role, you're welcome to it.
So when you go in for a driver's license and they say sign it, you don't sign it at all, then they're not going to process the paperwork. Then what do you do?
Well, like I said, I don't drive with a license, and you got to ask yourself, as God, do you need permission from your servant to use your roads?
No, that's right.
So then you've answered the question. But if you want to, if you're going to go apply for a license, then you're going to have to do it the way they want it done. Now, let me finish here too. Is you could put an X on the signature.
Yeah.
As a signature. If they say, well, why are you putting an X here? Well, because this birth certificate is not personal identification. It's not to license me. It's to license the name. But I've never done that, but I believe that would cause a glitch in their mind of the people on the other side of the counter, because they're like we used to be and thinking, well, that's my name. That's your name, man. What are you doing here? That's your name. It's your license. It's your this. It's your that.
Uh-huh.
Because they're just coming from where we all used to be. It's going to cause a bit of a brain lock, if you will. So, but anyhow, it's not this conversation wasn't to deal with licensing and that sort of stuff. It was to put things in proper perspective and little baby steps at a time. Not to talk about buying houses or how to do that, but we talked about that. And the thing is in those situations, you got to clarify the time to clarify and put the truth on the table is in the beginning, not after the fact.
So, Vic, along that note, in the short run, how do you, you say you were, when you drive on the 407 and you don't get any paperwork anymore because you're canceling out that account.
No, somebody else is just getting the paper. Somebody's paying 407. You know that the money's flowing. It's not like they just throw the bill and the statement in the garbage. Somebody's paying that bill, just like somebody's paying Doug's rent.
No, exactly. But in the meantime, when we're sort of working our way closer to finding out how the owner of the company is going to be handling these accounts in this intermediate step, how do you put gas in the tank for that truck on the 407? I mean, if you do this with each credit card...
That's a completely separate issue. We're just talking about my use of the 407.
Right, okay, so...
I wasn't here talking about how I put gas in the tank. How do I put gas in the tank? I go to a gas station and put it in and I give them some dollars.
Right, so we still need to use dollars as liquidity in the short run while we're trying to figure out how to put the owner in charge of these accounts.
Exactly. Again, if you look at it, you're the employee of the company using a company car. The employee does not pay for the gas. The employer does.
Right, so if I send these notices to various, at this point, credit card companies that are licensed to the all capital name, that's in the other caller hat is like, how do you compel them to accept that payment? Because I could see how a credit card company would say, well, I don't know what this guy's talking about, and then just
if that's the glitch, then you send it to the government. I didn't say you send it to Hydro. I didn't say you couldn't. I didn't say you do. I didn't say you would send your credit card bill to the credit card company. I didn't say you could. I didn't say you couldn't.
Right, but at some point, someone has to work it through.
Yeah, so for example, in my communications with the MPP last summer, like I said, it took three letters before it resulted in someone else's paying for the 407. So
right.
Let's just use the concept of you're communicating with your credit card company, and you do that, and then you get a statement the next month. I would get on the phone and say, just a second here, I sent you guys some information. Did you not receive it? I'm not the owner of the business.
Right. Okay.
Or you just circumvent that, and you go to the owner of the business.
Well, that's what we're still
It would seem to make sense.
Figure out.
It would make sense in my mind to communicate with the owner of the business, who is the party that is holding that document of title to the name, the instrument.
Right. Okay, I understand that.
Okay, but I'm not trying to limit people's thinking and different things they want to try by saying don't send it to Hydro and don't send it to your credit card company. I am not doing that. I am sending my communications to the owner of the business.
Right.
And then the owner of the business can provide me with what I need, with what I've already provided them to provide me. Remember, everything was, it was never intended that a birth certificate is personal identification, so everything is in place to cover for us as the employee or the agent, if you will.
Hello.
We just haven't accessed it yet because we came in as the owner. So we have to provide it for ourselves. We have to go to the bank and get a credit. Like when you're applying for credit, there's unlimited credit, but when we apply on our own basis, like it's our business, then there's limitations because we have to do the credit check to see how your ability to pay is. But in the bigger picture, there's unlimited credit.
Right.
So working with the one big, call it the public trust, there's unlimited credit there.
Vic?
Yeah.
Can I just say something here? Okay, the man that the tenant or the alleged tenant who now has his rent paid, to me that just shows total proof that the system, what you're talking about, is totally right, and that it's just a matter of us keeping it simple. And for me, it would be good to go to the government because they've already proved that they're doing that by this gentleman having his rent paid for the last, I think you said, 5 years. And as far as yourself, you don't have to pay for the 407. Well, that's just proof that if you go to the government, get them to handle what they have to handle because they are the owner of the business, that it should flow fine.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just not going to tell people not what to do. That's all.
No, I understand.
But I that's my thinking exactly. Like, why would I communicate anywhere else other than the owner of the business?
Okay, now, on this call, like, I have a partnership business, a real business, like in the commercial world, and just from what we talked about tonight, it just goes back to the same basic thing. It goes back, I don't own this business, I am the employee of the business, and the owner of the business is the people who have the title to the name, which is the government.
Yep.
Period.
Period.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's absolutely impossible for anyone to come back and say, this is your name, this is your business.
Yeah, because it's not.
Let me rephrase that. They could never prove it is. You can't stop what people are going to say, but the evidence speaks for itself.
Right.
In those two landlord-tenant cases in my own situations, and I know others have had success on the same or similar basis, it's going to go back to the government. Somebody has, it's the owner of the business. That's how it works in this world, and whoever signs on the dotted line is the owner of the business.
And we've made a mistake by thinking that we're the owners, or acting as the owners.
Exactly, unknowingly, but it's neither here nor there.
Now, also on that stamp thing I was talking about earlier, he didn't stamp the envelope. He stamped the documents in the envelope, therefore he wasn't writing anything himself or signing anything.
Right.
He had everything what he was saying, and he stamped it, and he sent it back, and it was the CRA, and they never came after him again.
Right.
Yep.
Exactly, and that's the idea of that text. There's nothing coming from you or I from our hand.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like I say, I'm not really concerned about that now, because once you get the truth on the table, who the owner of the business is, and some people have asked you about putting acceptance for value and this and another thing on these statements. If you're not the owner of the business, why would you do that?
That's right.
You just contact the owner of the business and send them their paperwork. Let them do what they intended to do all along.
Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, by doing that acceptance for value, it's kind of we're like, what employee does that? You know, if you're a salesman for a company,
you're going backwards.
You get the paperwork, you just take it to the accounting office. You don't write accepted for value on it.
Yeah, you're going backwards if you do.
Yeah, it's confusing the issue. It's not necessary.
Yeah.
None of that stuff is.
Vic?
Yep.
Interesting. Great call.
Oh, Vic, this is John. You can call me John. I had a question. If we have Hydro, for instance, and then we have the government that owns a lot of name businesses, but in my case, the name business is owned by another government in a different country, with a SOB in a different language. connecting the dots for the first government, you know, closest to me, would you, no, I'm thinking I should probably connect it with the original government first, connect the dots with them, and then, you know, start sending stuff locally, perhaps.
Yeah, if it's, I would have no problem with that, going right back to the beginning and taking the documents from the country of birth. However, not everyone's able to do that. And I think if you've got citizenship document, you can basically use that as the same thing. The government, and the government actually holds the document of title to the name.
Okay. In my case, it would be like a permanent residence. I would still the citizenship would still belong to the original country.
Well, again, if you come to Canada, you got citizenship papers here, and your paperwork that you fill out there, when you know you put a name on that document, whatever the case may be, and the government holds that document. The same as, for example, when we apply for a social insurance number, the government has a paper to that, and I actually talked to them about that, and they own it all. The only thing that the government does not own is the plastic.
Okay. So, I mean, in this case, let's say, I mean, I applied, perhaps mistakenly, for the permanent residentship. I mean, should that be categorized as a mistake then, or should I use that?
No, because remember, it's not you. You were. It's only in your mind you think it's you. It's the name they're talking about here.
True. Yes. Okay, so I just use that entity basically that they created.
Yeah. So again, they have the paperwork that evidences title to the name, not you.
Right. And I mean, I have a change. Starting with the SOB, then the birth certificate, and then they sent me a welcome letter referencing, you know, both the original name actually and the new name that they created. So yeah, that's interesting.
Well, there you go. So see, you work from the new name.
Yeah.
Like you said, that they created.
Right. Thank you.
You got to keep in mind here, you is not who you think you is, who you think it is on those letters. You is the name. They don't know who you is.
And that was actually interesting when I was back in the original country. The last summer, I went to the vital statistics, whatever it's called there, and talking to a very nice lady there. She said, I mean, she pointed eventually to the name and said, "This is you." So you know, I could either see it as she was connecting me with the name, or she was just defining who you was.
Well, what I see there is insanity. It says, well, if that's me, then who am I?
Exactly. Yeah.
They do it all the time, but you got to ask yourself a question. And then they'll accuse you of being insane. But the point is, let me get this straight. You're pointing at that name over there and asking if that's me and questioning my sanity.
Okay. That's it.
That's the basis, Vic. Yes. Oh, Vic. Yes.
Yes, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Yeah, just to clear the record, I've had the rent free since 2007, May, since 2007 in May.
Yep, yeah, I did try to squeeze
not
in.
Not heard a word at all from Gubby, nothing.
Yep, truth
still
is the truth. Thanks, Doug. It becomes fairly obvious what's going on here, you know, when you really get it internalized.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing hinges on the name, and these guys are trying to stick the name to us, whether they're doing it ignorantly or willingly or whatever, doesn't matter, but that's the game. If they can get that name stuck to us, it all hinges on that. The truth is, we are not the name.
Exactly right.
We are not a name, and we do not hold title to the name. We are not the owner of the business. So, just like you go back to the movie The Matrix, when Neo finally figured out, he went to the source. He did not go to anyone below the source. He went to the source because Agent Smith is who he was fighting with, whoever that was. But the point is, he went to the source to deal with the truth. He didn't deal with the police officer. He didn't deal with the banker. He didn't deal with the local municipality or anything like that. He went right to the source.
Yeah, absolutely.
In
this
case,
what we got to do here.
Ultimately, the source is Her Majesty, as represented by her various ministers.
You know what she came?
Yeah. Absolutely right on.
That's why I say we really need to get who we are, and we have to let go that we're a name. We have to stop thinking that we're a name and behaving like we're a name and having fear of letting go of that and all of that stuff. We are not a name. We don't need a name. We do not need a name. The system does, but we do not. Again, the system cannot account for you because it doesn't know who you are. It has to do it in names.
Doesn't recognize anything but the name.
Exactly. It says that, and that's what it says in the Change of Name Act, or other name, or name recognized in law. We are not recognized in law unless we become the name or act like the owner.
And there is no legal proof that we ever received the name either.
No, there's no. That's the whole point of the statement of birth. Is that is by definition from the criminal code, that is property that evidences title to property.
Yeah.
Just like a certificate of incorporation, if it's got my signature on there, it indicates me as the owner. But if my signature's not there, I got nothing to worry about. So if I get paperwork related to that
right.
business, I got nothing to concern myself with
that's
because
right.
my signature's not there.
No proof that we are the name at all. None at all. Absolutely none.
So there's no proof that your signature is you.
Signature's not
there's
you
no
either.
Signature.
But if you opened up a business, registered a business with your signature, but your signature is not you, it still wouldn't apply to you, right?
Well, no, it does because, as I said early in the conversation, someone when you start a business, you're doing that for a reason, first off. And the name is coming from your mind, and you're putting your signature on that form because someone has to be responsible for the business. And being responsible is not a bad thing. It just means someone has to be on line here to receive the paperwork and fill out the blanks and send in the checks with obligations related to the business. So when you're looking at incorporating a business, whoever signs it is the owner, has the ultimate responsibility. We're talking small businesses here. We're not talking about conglomerate corporations where there could be a multitude of owners and partnerships and all kinds of stuff. We're just talking simple business here. But the point is, when you relate that to the statement of birth, our signature is not there, and it is not on the birth certificate, which is an abstract or an extract of that. So a birth certificate is really like a copy of a certificate of incorporation. The government has the main document, and we get a copy of it. So that certificate of incorporation is not personal identification, but the fact that your signature is on it indicates I'm the one that did this, I'm the one willing to take responsibility for the business. If you don't want the responsibility, don't start the business.
Okay, but would that not apply to a Visa or a bank account?
Oh, yeah, that's what this whole conversation is about. If you sign, and you look on your permit for your vehicle, it's where the signature goes. It says signature of owner. So you've by your own mind, identified yourself as the owner, verified by your signature.
Yeah, but you were saying we could send our Visa bills or Hydro bills, et cetera, to the government or the owner.
Yeah, that's right.
It's taken out in that same name.
Let me clarify this then. The fact that you signed on the line on the permit to the car as the owner does not make you the owner except in your mind. And as long as that's how you believe and as long as that's what the information says, you will be treated as the owner of that vehicle and expected to have insurance on it and expected to have the license plates and stickers on it. But the truth is, in evidence, it's not your car. So all that's happening here is that they're just acting on our beliefs, not the facts.
Okay, so if a person opens a business, the names that they're going to have on the business are going to be the names that are owned by the government.
Doesn't matter. Your signature's there. Someone has to be responsible. Like the idea of talking about the business here, let me put that in perspective, was just to create the relationship between a certificate of incorporation. If you've ever registered a business, you need that certificate of incorporation. It's not the title to the business, but it's a certificate, just like a birth certificate, that you need to present to a bank in order to open up an account, but at no time on a certificate of incorporation are you recognized as the business. The bank, so to put that in further perspective, what am I trying to get to here is, if you're opening up the business, then you're taking on the responsibility. The question is, maybe you don't want to open a business. And what I think will happen here, based on what story in Ontario is when you hit the nail on the head, the government will ask you, do you mind if we open up a business for you? What kind of business would you like to be in? And we will set it up for you, rather than you doing it for you.
Oh, interesting. Well, but my thinking, I just want to point something out that I want your, I'd like your opinion on, Vic, is, okay, a person has a partnership, as I'm involved with, if the name issue, and they realize it is not you, they will hold title to the name, okay, and the business is in Ontario, doesn't that undercut the whole thing?
In what way? Oh, and you, well, with relation to your business? No, not at all. Not necessarily.
No way. I would think it would, because the names that it's in, when you go to get a bank account or you go get a business, it's still going to have those owned names, government-owned names that we have on our birth certificate, and that's what they're going to go by. I mean, we sign it, but that's like you used to talk about. That'd be like me working for Coca-Cola, and I'm the shipper receiver. I have to sign sometimes, but I'm not the owner.
Yeah, but I shared a story recently where a friend of mine, his daughter, who worked for Sears,
mm-hmm.
Okay, she's employed by Sears, and she has a credit card given to her by Sears with her name on it, but she does not get the bills, so long as she uses that card for business related to Sears. Okay, but in that case, it's known that she's using that credit card for, Sears is the beneficiary, you see, on that account. So even though it has his daughter's name, the legal name, doesn't matter, but for purpose of to put things in perspective, she carries a Sears card to, for example, he was sharing recently, she had to go on a training seminar, so she had a credit card to go so she could get a hotel and a room and food and all that sort of stuff without paying out of her own pocket, because her education, her sales education, her training was related to, is a benefit to Sears, so Sears has to pay. She's
right.
The employee. She's doing this for Sears, not herself.
Mm-hmm.
The credit card had her name on it, legal name, all that stuff aside, doesn't matter, but she never saw the statements. Okay, so anyhow, just to clarify all of this, maybe to put all of this to rest, is, you know, we're talking about all these businesses and partnerships and stuff like that, all still the name, but at the end of the day, we're going to, you know, maybe you want to walk away from that business, it doesn't matter, but you got to start anew here. We got to get it on the table who the owner of that name is, the business is. And once you've done that, then maybe you don't want to be in the partnership business you're in. Because the government, I believe, at that point, because you still want to be able to contribute here, the difference is you're not applying to Her Majesty to incorporate a business. Her Majesty will approach you to ask, would you mind if we set you up in business?
That's fine. That's good. You give them the same name, give everything, and you're still in the same position.
That's right.
But Vic, wouldn't they still ask me to sign on it? Maybe not.
Well, I believe that at some point in time they're going to need your authorization here, because keep in mind here, like, even though you hire a lawyer to do something for you, he needs your authorization and he needs to have a signature for it, right?
Right.
Otherwise, if he doesn't have the signature, what's the proof that he's authorized to do what he's doing?
That's right. That's right.
So the same thing here with the government. To just be, you know, when you put this truth in the government, they step up to the plate as the owner, and they're going to perform now for the business. But you're a part of this thing. They would probably still need to. That's why I believe they called Fred and said, we need you to sign something.
Okay.
Because until they have your authorization, do they have it?
They don't.
And they could be subject to liabilities if they don't. So I believe at the end of the day is when we get to the final step, again, this call is not about the final step, it's about that fiduciary email, but when we get to the final step, I believe that's you will have to sign something. And that's basically, that gives them the authorization now to do this stuff for you, for the business, for you.
Okay.
Because absent that authorization from you, where did the authority to come from? And an auditor could come along and say, well, where do you get the authority to do that? Well, Vic said I could do it. Well, I don't see a signature here. How do we know that?
Get right back to square one again.
Well, but they would be—they're responsible for what they do, just like a lawyer is responsible for what he does. And if he can't prove that he has your authority to do it, then maybe he doesn't.
Right.
So they're not stupid on that side of the fence. They will always get us to sign something, whether it's for us or against us, doesn't matter. But to make sure that they're doing things with proper authority and not of their own mind. Doing things that affect someone else, they need our authority.
Well, couldn't that also be like that with a partnership? They want you to sign just so they know they have the authorization to set up the partnership, because they've got two people's names, and then they have to have both people sign. Same thing.
Yeah, but further, somebody has to be responsible for the business. Imagine they take a piece of paper that says, "Oh, we incorporated a business," but we don't know who the heck's responsible for the business.
By us signing, are we not saying that that is us? That name is who we are?
Nope. The signature is simply authorization. Again, it depends how you're looking at it. If you're signing, if you put your signature on a permit for a car, you're not saying, that's me. You're saying it's my car. Right on the signature line, it says signature of owner.
Nick, I think if you handle it...
All you're doing by putting your signature down there is, depending on what the piece of paper is about, is indicating something. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're binding yourself. If you go to the bank and sign on the dotted line for a loan, yes, they're going to believe that you're on the hook for it, no doubt about it. But on a car permit, it doesn't mean you're not borrowing money here. You're just by your own will, by your own belief, you put the signature on there as saying, I'm the owner of the car. And now that's why you're getting the bills for insurance. You're required to have insurance. Why you're required to provide the sticker or the license plate for the car.
Why
you're required to make sure that the vehicle is safe on the roads. There was an example. Let me share this example, and I don't know if Dan's on the call, but a friend of his a few years back there up in Pembroke area, Ontario, was using a Government of Ontario trailer with his own truck. So this guy was using his truck, but the trailer that he was towing belonged to the province of Ontario, and he got pulled over by the Ministry of Transportation, who did an inspection on the trailer and discovered the trailer not to be up to par with regards to the standards required. So the MOT guy was going to issue a ticket or whatever to the guy driving or using the trailer. But then the MOT guy discovered that the trailer was registered to Ontario. So at that instant, the responsibility was no longer with the guy using the trailer. The responsibility shifted to the province of Ontario. And to make a long story short, they had replaced that trailer with a brand new one in 3 days. We're essentially talking the same thing here. Bless you. You're already blessed, but...
Would the guy with the sneezes and coughing please mute out?
But the guy that had the trailer hadn't signed that he was the owner, right?
Well, no, it was that the trailer was, in fact, registered to Ontario, so he could not sign as the owner. Now, I don't know why you keep wanting to harp on this ownership thing, but the fact that you sign on the dotted line on the car ownership to indicate yourself as the owner does not make it true. Because the truth is, it is not your business. But until you put it on the table that it's not your business, that signature will appear to make you out to be the owner of that car. So what I'm saying is, you don't have to sell the car or cancel the ownership and then get it and then deal with this. It's just you're just perpetuating a lie, a belief, an illusion. The truth is, you're not the owner of the business.
That's right.
And you're not the owner of the car, but the evidence right now indicates that by you putting that signature down there, you're saying I'm the owner of the car because you believe that to be the case. But when you discover you're not the owner of the business that the car is registered to, you're not the owner anymore.
Then you handle the scene with the government and you're all square.
So how do you go about getting a new car when you know that you're not that person?
Well, like I said, that's the purpose of this car. This call is not to talk about how to get stuff. It's about how to let go, to give, to receive. We're going down a different road there, and where you want to steer with us. Like I said, we're just sharing why you're perceived as the owner of that car right now.
Yes, I see.
Okay, not how to get a new car or a new house. We covered that earlier in the conversation. That's not the purpose of this call. Although it's not to say people can't do this with the information, this whole perspective here is to get the truth on the table, and the truth sets us free. Now, the truth is in the documentation. Like I said, when that guy did, let's go back to that first landlord-tenant case. John's signature was on the lease as the tenant.
Right.
But when he put the statement of birth in and signed him as the alleged tenant, suddenly he's not the tenant, because the truth is he's not. The name is.
Right.
So at that point, it didn't matter that his signature was on the actual lease. So the same thing applies to the car here. It doesn't matter that your signature's on there, because the truth is you're not the owner of the car, but our actions have caused others to believe we are, and we did it because we believed we were. If we knew we weren't the owner of the car, then why the heck would you sign you're the owner? Nobody questioned it, because we all believed it's our car, it's our house, it's our loan, it's our credit card, all of this stuff. So the point is for me, is very simple, is once we establish with the government, you're the owner of the business, I'm just the employee, agent, or servant, if you will, then all of that mystery, all of that falsity goes away. One foul swoop. They can't come back and say, yeah, but you signed as the owner of the car. Well, so what? I put it this way. You didn't properly notify me that it's not my business. So there. That's why I say it's either a mistake or fraud.
All right.
Oh, Vic?
Yep.
Just a question about, or just something to say about signatures. This is Tom here. You know, sometimes I've been signing things with a restricted signature. I don't understand what was in the document, or submitting myself, maybe as agent, or maybe reserving rights at some point, and maybe the other end. Hello?
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, and the other is, you know, being the fact that we're putting energy and giving to the business, the name is owned by the government, you know, actually we might have to be, you know, authorized to sign as an agent in some cases, just like the example of the young lady working for Sears with Sears Card, signing on the behalf.
Oh, she just signed, she didn't sign on behalf of, she just signed normal, but the thing is the truth was known in behind the scenes, you see.
Already.
So there was no attempt by Sears to allow her to believe it's her credit card, in other words.
Right. So in the case, you know, we've been listening face for a while. You know, if you're unsure about what you're signing, you've done your best to read the fine print. You know, was it you that made the contract? Maybe it's a good thing to, limit your signature, you know, not pull out.
To touch on that, first off, since we are the creator here, we have nothing to restrict or limit.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's not a solution.
Right online at pizzapizza.ca. To receive the exact same order as last time, press 1.
Whoever's ordering the pizza, do you mind? We don't need to hear what you're ordering there. Pepperoni? I'll take pepperoni.
I'll take Hawaiian.
Hold the anchovies. Anyhow, there's no need here. This is about getting the truth on the table and freeing ourselves from what we got ourselves into based on our beliefs at the time.
Okay.
And it's all taken care of in one foul swoop. I understand about, you know, reserving the rights on the signature and this and that and the other thing, but as creators, we don't have to do that stuff.
Yeah, once you get the truth on the table, then things should be taken care of.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. Initially, because it's been a learning curve, people have just been reaching out. They don't want to get their head knocked off, so maybe they have put a restricted signature on something because they're still in the learning process.
Absolutely. I agree with that, but there's no need for us to do that.
No,
it's God, I don't think God put a signature on anything or whatever to restrict anything or to limit liability. He takes full responsibility for what he creates.
And
this is really what we're talking about here, is at the end of the day, we are not the owner of the business. We did not create the situation. We are not, had nothing to do with that undertaking.
No, and we're not dead.
So we have no responsibility with respect to it, but at the same time, it's not so much that we weren't told that, so they can't come back and say, well, you knew what you were doing. Well, you could turn around and say, well, yeah, but you didn't tell me that you held title to the name. If you had told me you hold title to the name, then I wouldn't have done this. If you had told me you're the owner of the business, I would have not made myself out to appear as the owner. You know, you could have that point back and forth, and you'll win. The point is the government to date has acted on the truth. When the truth is put in their face, like in that very first landlord-tenant case, they did the right thing without hesitation.
Yeah, that's great. It's like, you know, it's like working with a stacked deck. You know, they expect you to know, you know, your parents did, you know, they followed the law, and then all of a sudden there wasn't any of the rules divulged as to what's going on. Next thing you know, the field wasn't really level, eh?
That's right. But the thing is they is our ego side, you see, and so they are just. They are represent our ego, so if they didn't tell us that it's our business, it's because we didn't tell us it's our business, or their business.
I guess it's just been a mistake for several generations, on and on, perpetuating one parents teaching children, you know, on and on and on, not really getting it straightened out.
Well, and it all started with the name.
That's right.
We're not really doing anyone a service by identifying ourselves by a name, because we've got it so ingrained in us now that we actually, say we'll point to a name on a piece of paper and say, yeah, that's me. That's insanity.
That's right. You could just out of necessity or out of, you could say, you're a man using this particular for convenience sake.
Well, again, the whole point here is to get the truth on the table with the owner of the business,
yeah,
and have the owner step up to the plate.
Right, and then
nothing else need be said.
No, I guess that keeps it simple.
Well, that's why I keep going back to that first landlord-tenant case. You put the statement of birth in and sign in as the alleged tenant. You can't get any simpler than that.
Right. That was actually a case that individual was going into court with. I didn't know if it was really privileged to the whole story, but the fellow did come online tonight, I believe, and confirmed that, you know, he hasn't had...
No, that was Doug. That was a different tenant case. He happened after, a couple of years, three years after that. So there's two cases, basically the same thing. Doug's was a little more complex. It was done through affidavit, but it had the effect. But the first one, all I'm saying is all he did was he got the SOB in there and signed in as the alleged tenant. You know,
if he changes...
Let me put it this way. Had he put the statement of birth in but not signed in as the alleged tenant but signed in as the tenant, he'd still be the tenant.
He'd be nailed.
If he didn't put the statement of birth in and sign in as the alleged tenant, he'd still be the tenant. So it was a combination of putting the truth in there, the who owns the business, and signing in as the alleged tenant.
Yeah, that seems like a fairly simple process, really.
Well, it is, and that's the thing. If you look at that, now that may not be enough to just send it to the government and say, you know, it may be enough to send them the statement of birth and say, I'm the alleged owner of the business. But that text I sent out there under fiduciary basically says what needs to be said. And like I shared before, in my communication, what I consider the final communication is going to put an end to all of this on my own account anyhow.
Correct.
Is it starting off with there's either a mistake here or a fraud? And I got some traffic stuff here, summonses to send in with it. I got a claim by the county for it's up to $20,000 now, and I got a parking ticket. I'm sending all of that with it. But I'm also putting in there that, you know, in addition to that, I wasn't a party to the undertaking. I didn't consent to it. I'm not the fiduciary trustee. I'm also putting in there that I am not the owner of any property in any name derived of that document, instrument.
Oh, and it's pretty obvious. You just have to look at your property, I mean, your registration at land titles, what's it in.
Yeah, the thing is, they know the truth. They did it.
Yeah, well, they did it.
And we knew the truth because we actually created the whole thing, but we forgot that part. Our ego got the better of us.
Yeah, I see that.
But the thing is here is to keep it as simple as possible and the fewest words possible. And that's why in that text I suggested you don't put anything, you know, to indicate that it's coming from you or a name or an address. There's a name and an address on the bills. If they want to get in touch with you, they know where you are.
Right. I know you did.
But they also know that you're not the name on that bill.
Right. I know you stated this call is not about insurance or about licensing, but you did mention you were on the 401, and so are you. You did say you're not. It's not necessary to have a license because you are above that, or you are don't have to ask.
Well, persons require a license, and that's the name. I don't. I'm a man. There's no statute out there that talks about men.
Right. So there must be something a person should become knowledgeable in law or in a constitution or something, or to read up on.
No, he just needs to know who he is. I think everyone on this call knows that all the no statute talks about man or woman. They all talk about person. You know, it's a person this, a person that, person, person, person.
Yeah.
We are not persons. We are men and women.
Yeah, there's a significant difference because it says that in the Bible, you know, God doesn't talk about persons.
Nope, it's God created man, and so that's part of knowing who we are. And so as a man, you're not subject to the statutes. It doesn't mean that you drive down the highway at 500 miles an hour or anything like that, but the point is at the end of the day, the statute is not speaking to men.
No, it's not. No.
Okay, so when you identify yourself, this is what I said earlier, if you hand them over a document of any kind of identification, and it comes from you, they're going to make assumptions.
Exactly.
So this is why I carry nothing in the truck. Yeah, the ownership is there, but there's no proof of insurance. The sticker's expired. there's no birth certificate in there. There's nothing. And they need, even with that stuff, they will still pepper you to give them a name. They want a name out of your head, and they want to hear the same one that's on the documentation they get. So when I'm asked to identify myself, here I am. I'm a man. Do you see a man?
Yeah.
That's who I am. And the statute does not speak to men.
No.
And then I have the right to remain silent, and that's the end of that.
Right. And to carry on freely traveling.
So know, I'm not about to, this is the whole thing again, is taking the final step here is to bring an end to all of that, which is part of my communication, my final communication. What I consider the final communication here is I want all of that to stop.
Yeah.
So that when I drive down the road, the cops are not going to ask me all of that stuff. They're not going to ask for a license because they know either the government gives me one, but it's flagged, or I don't need one, whatever information is in the system.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not concerned about what's going to happen because I know the truth. I you got to have some faith and trust here. I'm not forcing anything. I'm just going to lay the truth on the table, and I'm just saying for conversation purposes and indicating that I want all of this crap that I'm recognized as that name or as the owner of the business, whatever, I want it to stop. Because if it doesn't stop, then they move into fraud.
Right.
Hence, like I said, there's either a mistake here or fraud.
Right.
And if you look up the law of mistake, it's pretty straightforward. And it starts the very first word in Wikipedia. Anyhow, starts off with an erroneous beliefs. Mm-hmm. Well, that can be on all parties' part, right? Not just one.
Right.
There, the officer is believing erroneously that I'm Beck Victor.
Right.
So the focus is not about dealing with licenses or not having licenses. I'm just sharing some situations there. The point of communicating to hire, you know, back to the source here is to put an end to all of that stuff so I'm never treated as a driver ever again. I'm not recognized as the owner. If I'm not the owner of the vehicle, it's not me that's required to provide the insurance.
No, that's right. They just got us to do it.
Well, they didn't get us to do it. We just did it.
So we just did it.
Because we believe it's our car, and if it's our car, we believe, well, if the law is that if it's my car, I got to provide insurance, so we all did it. There was no they, it's us.
Yeah.
Somebody had a question?
Yep, thank you very much.
Yeah, hi.
You're welcome.
Hey, Vic, Shane, how's it going?
Good, Shane, yourself?
Pretty good. I just wondered if you could go into differentiating, I guess to start, one question to ask is differentiating on the difference between the statement of birth versus the birth certificate in terms of application. Does it make a difference? Or is one stronger or both or specifically not one?
Well, as I said earlier on in the conversation, the birth certificate is really like a certificate of incorporation. Okay, a certificate of incorporation does not identify me personally. It identifies the business, but my signature on it identifies me as the one responsible. The birth certificate, Judy Hartman, the deputy registrar, has referred to it on a couple of occasions as an extract. Pardon me, an abstract. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard the phrase abstract of title. Abstract of title has certain particulars of the original title, just enough to make a connection, but it is not the title. It is not the title document. So the birth certificate, again, not being personal identification, and the government retaining legal title in it, is the same as Sears retaining legal title in that Sears credit card. They could take it back, just like the bank actually says, we can take back this credit card at any time. They're telling you they retain legal title in it. They own it.
Okay.
So the birth certificate really, its true purpose is just to really twofold. It's so that you can interface and serve the system, giving to the system so we can all receive. If we don't put into the system, there's nothing for us to receive in the way of goods and services or automobiles or whatever it is we'd like to produce and use, right?
Right.
Whatever our, you know, there was a time we used horses, then we evolved the cars, and we all wanted a car. Maybe we're going to have jet cars in the future. I don't know, but we're the creators.
Okay.
We decide. But the certificate is really just indicating where the title is held.
Well, can't you say all that same stuff about the statement of live birth?
Well, that is the title.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Do we need to differentiate between, I guess, the short form and the long form, the birth certificate versus the statement of live birth?
Well, I don't know. Put it this way. In my communications, I'm using the statement of birth because I requested that 9 years ago. If people don't have that, I would recommend they get it, but if they don't get it, then you just indicate the birth certificate is an abstract of title, indicating where the evidence of title is held.
Right. Okay. So but the definition that you just gave of the birth certificate applies equally to the statement of birth as well. It's an extraction or well, one's an extraction.
The statement of birth is the title document. Is that the party that has the statement of birth is the party that has that owns the name. The party that has the birth certificate is the one that's doing the work in that name, but also has the proof of who has the title to the name, who owns the name.
Okay, but are you saying, but it's understood that we have just a certified copy of the statement of birth, right?
That's, you could call that a birth certificate, that, yep. It's not a certified copy of a statement of birth in that you can actually request a certified copy of a statement of birth. It's, look on your birth certificate, it says right on there, extract of a record.
Yeah, no, I've heard them say from Register General that it's an extract.
It says right on the birth certificate.
Oddly enough, though, they told me that the statement of birth was the certified copy, and then I said, well, is the birth certificate a certified copy? And they said, no.
No, it's a certified copy of an extract.
Yeah, they said, no, it's not, because it's an extract or something like that. And, yeah. And you just refused to call it a certified. So, well, how can you say it's not certified? It's called a birth certificate.
Because you can actually request a certified copy of the statement of birth. So in their minds, when you ask for a certified copy of something, you're referring to the statement of birth. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes.
Okay.
If you're using that phraseology, then in their minds, you're talking about the statement of birth, not the birth certificate. The birth certificate is something separate.
Okay. So, but just to make sure, I didn't mess it up and get it unclear for the folks, and myself included, for all practical intents and purposes then, because we get a lot of people record this and they go back over the definitions and stuff, but we should differentiate, obviously, between the birth certificate and the statement of birth, and we should be using a copy when we do this process, copies of the statement of birth for...
Yeah, because that's right. You don't have the original. You would have a copy of the original. If you have a state, you might have got a certified copy of the statement of birth, and you might want to take a photocopy from that. So you got to indicate, well, I'm enclosed as a photocopy of the certified copy of the, or a photocopy of the original statement of birth, and I don't have possession of that document.
Yeah, because I guess if we go to the birth certificate, we're just taking it one more step removed again, which is kind of going too far away from the original document.
No, because it's an extract of it. So like I say, you can use the birth certificate to indicate who has the actual title to the name. It's a birth certificate. Like I say earlier in the conversation, if you've ever incorporated a business, you end up with a certificate of incorporation.
Okay.
Which is not the original registration document. The government has that. They need to have it, otherwise the business doesn't exist. But the certified copy of the registration just indicates that the government has the original registration, just like in the birth certificate. It's essentially the exact same thing.
So it's a closer identification of what you're trying to make reference to.
The difference is on the certificate of incorporation, my signature is on there, but on the birth certificate, looking at that as a certificate of incorporation, my signature is not on it. So I am not responsible. So the birth certificate is, as I say, it's just simply indicating who has the true title to the name. The birth certificate is not the title to the name. It indicates where the title is held. But you got to make sure when you're communicating to these government people, like they know things by certain names, and if you're going to call a birth certificate a certified copy or something like that, that's not true.
Well, you just say statement of birth if you were going to make reference to it. If you're going back to now the statement of birth, then, because that's what we'd be using in a practical application, and you would just call it, I'm going to submit or include statement of birth.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
That's exactly what's in that fiduciary email there, remember? It talks about
that. Oh, yeah. I want to kind of differentiate and flesh that out a little bit more, because, I mean, I still get, you know, I know that one's an extract, and I know that one is a photostatic reproduction of. I know that they're considered different documents because they actually have different slight numbers on them, and they're related to each other at the same time. I'm going to leave that for a second. People were talking about other applications. Now, and I know you said don't sign anything on an existing bill once it's set up, and I have actually even heard now, maybe this might tie in, where people have said they've been very successful repeatedly putting as seen by full colon X, which is almost like putting nothing, right?
Well, again, if you're not the owner of the business, why would you do any of that?
Well, the only thing was like somebody had made reference before where if you're in the warehouse and you're receiving and you got to be, at least they got to say who they passed it on to, even if you're just the guy at the counter who's collecting it for the business owner, right? You might put... per, And now I'm going to go back and sort of reverse this. Like, if you want to initiate to open an account and they might want a signature, if you put something to the effect, there's just somebody sent me an email recently saying that they've got definitive definition that without prejudice says that you are in the private. If you
That's not what this conversation is about. None of that whatsoever, and I'm not even gonna, I don't even want to talk about
okay.
that.
Okay, okay, yeah.
This conversation is about showing who is the owner of the business and shifting all of the responsibility with respect to that business to the party that intended to have that responsibility in the first place.
Because I was going to, okay, well, I was going to say if you did say without prejudice per and a signature to, on an initial opening of some kind of account or an application for, you know, whatever, and you included a copy of the statement of birth, and then once that account is open to just do what you're saying, would that have a semblance of possible application?
Again, I look at it this way. Let's say I work for your company. Let's say you have a company, Shane, and I work for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say I'm in shipping and receiving. Right on your pieces of paper, it's going to say there's going to be a spot where it's a shipper, receiver, to place for a signature, right? So when I put my signature there, I don't need to reserve any rights because everything I'm doing for the business. And I'm not
right.
responsible. If I mess up and I say I received 55 boxes when we only received 50, that's an issue between you and I, but I'm not liable for it.
Right, and that's because we've already got an understanding that whenever I see a document with your signature, that it was already set up that way.
If I'm a purchaser for your company, I'm out on the road and I'm buying stuff, it's going to be a purchase order coming, and it's going to have the name of the business on it, and my signature will just authorize, because I'm authorized by your business to be the purchaser, my signature just indicates me as the purchaser. I have no liability.
Right.
So we don't need to complicate this. This whole thing is very, very simple. We're using the statement of birth. However you get there, whether you actually have the statement of birth or not, doesn't matter, but I like to use it because it puts it right in front of their face. But the birth certificate itself indicates where that original document of title, the instrument that proves title to the name, is held. It proves that I am not the owner of the business, and it proves who the owner of the business is. And since I'm not the owner of the business, I don't care. I'm just going to take the bills. My point here now is to establish with that owner, where do I send these bills? Are you going to open up an account for me to take care of this stuff or what? These are my options. But the point is, I don't have any responsibility to settle up these accounts. They do. The owner of the business does. So I don't need to put acceptance for value on there. I don't need to put it without prejudice out there. I don't need to sign X and all that other stuff. That's just confusing it.
Christopher Columbus. That whole example there, I mean, he sealed the world. He didn't have to pay for anything. The king paid for it.
Exactly, because he was doing everything in the name of the king. I'm doing everything in the name of Beck Victor, but I don't own the name. It's the same thing. Exactly. So, I don't want to complicate this conversation by bringing in all these other concepts. We got it really short and sweet and simple here, and that's the way I want to leave it. There's no need to get into all this, like I said before, no need to get into acceptance for value or reserve my rights. I don't have any rights to reserve. If I think I got rights, then my rights will be perceived as legal rights. I don't have any legal rights. I'm God here. I don't need those kind of rights. I'm a creator. I'm the source. We all are.
Okay, so technically then you should be able to just put in the birth certificate, the statement of birth with an application form, for example.
I don't know what you're talking about. This conversation was based on primarily on that email I sent out titled Fiduciary that included some sort of text in there.
Okay, like existing bills and receipts and statements and
that's
so
right.
on.
That's right. Now, some people in looking at that would say, well, I can use this. I get the perspective here, and I see what I got to do now to communicate with the government to carry it to the next level. But the purpose of this call and that text was to deal with smaller issues, not the bigger, not the final conclusion.
Got it. Okay. No problem.
Okay. So,
baby steps. You're right, baby steps.
Exactly. The reason I'm saying that is because that fiduciary thing does work, so we're talking about that. The final conclusion hasn't been done yet, so I don't want to talk about something that's not conclusive.
And people should experiment with that simpler thing, and it's probably bigger than what they think to begin with. Like you said, you might get calls, you might get tested, so you got to still get that focus and get the mental experience of it in your bones, so to speak.
Yep, and stop wanting to add two things. You know, people have been sharing information for years, and then people get it, and then they start adding their own perceptions to it, their own personal beliefs and philosophies to it, and all of this other stuff, and changes the whole scope of it. And so the thing is, at the end of the day, as many people have said, truth needs no explanation. The truth speaks for itself. And this documentation does speak for itself. There's a couple of, and the only reason we're adding additional words to that is because we need to connect the dots. Like I said, if, when Johnny put in that statement of birth in that first landlord-tenant case, had he not also signed in as the alleged tenant, he would still be perceived as the tenant. Had he signed in as the alleged tenant but not put the statement of birth in there, he'd still be perceived as the tenant. So he had to put the statement of birth in as the truth, and then he signed in as the alleged tenant to say, I'm not the tenant here, which is the truth. The name is.
Yeah, yeah. It's always that principle of consistency of our actions.
So if they wanted to rebut that, then they would have to prove that he owns the name. But that, like I said earlier, I think that that whole thing kind of happened by accident. I don't think Johnny knew exactly what he was doing, and I don't think the lawyer knew what Johnny knew or not. But the point is it happened. And if what we're talking about here was not true, he would be the tenant. If it was not true, then Doug would still be paying rent. If it was not true, I would still be paying to use the 407.
And so, and they did take notice of that. I mean, that's the only two things that he had there. And from their point of view, they saw immediately that this has to be checked. Like, in other words, a flag for them.
So you take that very simple concept, that same concept that happened in that first landlord-tenant case, and then you relate it over to the text I sent in that fiduciary email, and you're expanding a little bit because we're taking it up to the next level or another mm-hmm. level. And we're not dealing with a landlord-tenant board. We're dealing with the government itself that owns the business. So that's why we have to put a little bit more information there. But other than that, not necessary. In fact, my final step won't have anything about, will not have the definition of property from the criminal code. Because the truth is I don't have title to the name. I don't need to explain that. That document is the title. I'm not putting anything in there about fiduciary. Because the truth is I'm not the owner of the business. That piece of paper speaks to that already. So I just have to clarify some things by removing some certain presumptions as being one of them as being the owner of property in that name. So I'm putting in there, I'm not the owner of any property in that name. So just to kill that perception, presumption, whatever you want to call it. Because the truth is at the end of the day, I am not the owner of the business. Therefore, I am not the owner of anything in the name of the business. Period.
Less, you know, it makes sense. Less said, less for them to presume, and you've got everything they need for a very straightforward, unequivocal statement.
That's right. So, and again, by leaving myself in that fiduciary text, there's no mention of me, so they can't possibly now write back to me and say, we're not responsible for your debts, because now who am I? When they got the truth in front of their face, for them to come back and say they're not responsible for those debts would be to commit fraud, because they don't know who I am.
So this is the ultimate, and the less said, the better, then.
Absolutely, but it's a tough one, and that's why sometimes these conversations go on and on, and then our one-paragraph letter turns into 14 pages.
Yeah.
And we wonder why it goes nowhere. It's just, if we got to express it too far into the thing, then we're kind of saying, well, I think I know who I am, but I'm really not sure. So just to make sure that you know who I am, I'm going to give you some more meat here, but really we're saying we don't know who we are. And I'm also in my final step here indicating that I'm a man, not a person.
Is that in the email?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, like I said, that text works as it is for those particular situations in the final step here.
The final step you're working on, okay.
Yep, in the final step, there was a couple paragraphs in there. I said, as I get it better in me and get better on the truth here, I took them out because I said, here, the bottom line is I do not have the title to this name, period. I am not the owner of the business, period. I have no responsibility as an owner of a business, period. So do what you guys got to do, that I'm no longer perceived as Beck Victor or as the owner of the business or as an owner of property in that name, because the truth is I'm not, and no one can come back and with the proof and say I am. They can't. You know, if we've been down this road before, imagine yourself in court and they're alleging you're this and that, and then you bring in a statement of birth, and they're going to say, well, this is registration of your birth. Your parents give you that name. You got to just a second here, because I say my name is Vic. You look at that document and you assume that document there has something to do with me. Well, the reason I brought that document into court was to show you that it has nothing to do with me, because you can't prove that my parents gave me that name, because you don't even know who I am, let alone this piece. Maybe there's another Victor out there.
Okay. So just again, just to say, this is definitely, we're staying for now with the existing bills and statements. mostly statements, obviously, or tickets or whatever, but we are, and you are working on, besides the final step, and then probably in there at some point, application is going to be a separate, maybe it might be a separate call for you.
That's right. So like we said, you just confirmed, this is just talking about the baby steps for now, so we can learn to just work with the truth and keep all the other garbage out of it.
Okay. Excellent.
Like I said, it does work, and so that's why we're having this call. This is not about hearsay or theory here. It does work. And as I shared earlier, it doesn't mean that you won't get a response to test you. You might even get two responses. You know, you get a response back, and you send it back. You get a response back, you send it back, and after three times, you pass the test.
Yeah. Don't fix it.
You know, we've been really close on this a few times, but in hindsight, you know, Judy Hartman has written back, the government is not responsible for your debts. Well, I'm thinking about that. I never dealt with it properly. I just left it at that, which confirms that the government's not responsible for my debts, rather than writing back and nipping and saying, what are you talking about, my debts? You know, in other words, I got the first response, but I never dealt with it, so that's what stands now. It ended right there, and that was my own fault.
Yeah, you got to follow up.
But like I say, when I did it last summer with the MPP, he sent back the first response was the typical, they've already told you government services what a birth certificate is and that. And I says, I wrote back and says, I'm very well aware, and I went through the whole thing, and then I said, this is not about that, this is about what happened afterward. Okay, then there's one more response from him, and that's when I nipped it in the bud. Whatever I said there, that put an end to it. Now someone else is, I don't even, like I say, I use the Highway 407, which is a toll highway, which you, as you know, you pay per kilometer. So much to get on it and use it, and so much to get off, and so much for per kilometer. I see zero paperwork on that. Now, if it wasn't true, what we're talking about here, then I would still be seeing the paperwork. And I did that based on the fact that I'm not born with money. I never even got into anything we're talking about here.
No, I gotcha. That clarifies it pretty much.
And that's not, like I said, that's not the only one. These other, that's an ongoing account. You see, there's every time you use it, there's a bill. There's phone bills and stuff, but I don't have any of that stuff in the name of that Victor. But other obligations, like county Hastings, disappeared. And they're going to presume stuff until we rebut the presumptions.
Exactly, yeah.
The best way to rebut the presumption in this case is to put the government's own truth in front of its face.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
They do not know who I am. They're not doing business with me. It's all to do with that name.
I love it. And you're delivering to them, responding to them, operating. It's non-contemptuous. It's responsive. And it's right to the punch.
And in addition, a few people have visited government lawyers, and the government lawyers have said, you don't own any property.
Yeah.
Others have said, your birth certificate is your license, it is your passport, but I'm not supposed to tell you that. In fact, when I don't remember who it was, but when the lawyer at the government there said you don't own any property, he turned around and said to the same lawyer, well, then how do I have any debts? That's when the lawyer turned white.
There you go. And somebody did, I think it was Mark Sager, he called Register General and said, they told him that he could use the statement of birth as, or I think even his birth certificate as a passport. They said it might help if you call ahead, but basically it can be accepted as such. So that's kind of cool.
Here's the thing, that the real purpose, or one of the main, the primary purpose of a birth certificate is not to get into the other country, it's to get back into Canada. But if you want to use a birth, and you can use a birth certificate to travel to other countries, but then that's where they're saying, call ahead to that other country and confirm through their consulate, whatever, that they will accept it. They might need it apostilled, and you go down to Toronto, have that done, and it's some kind of verification process, but there's no passport, it's actually the birth certificate.
Yeah, I don't know how informative she was, but he just relayed that she said, yeah, you can. She said, you might want to call, might save some time, but ultimately it did sound like they have to accept it.
Well, it's not that they have to. You have to communicate with the country you're going. It's up to them whether or not they're going to accept it. You see, it's not Canada. Canada accepts it. It's not that. It's getting into the other country whether or not they will accept it.
Okay, well, just I don't know what how informative or informed she was, but she was stating to him that he could use it as a passport.
Yep. That's one. Yeah, I'm in full agreement.
Yeah, so I would imagine they'd scratch their head at first, I'm saying. I think the call ahead was to make sure that somebody in charge actually got the lowdown. Otherwise, it's going to have to go up the chain of command until somebody was actually educated enough to know what's going on.
Well, again, if you go to the government services website and you go to the apostille section, it tells you all right there what the purpose of having these things apostilled with, and it's to use it in another country. But it's up to the other country whether or not they're going to accept it. Canada can't tell you that. Canada can't say that. Canada cannot say, yes, France will accept it. But anyway,
thank you, Vic. That's a very, very interesting call tonight.
You're welcome. So the Mark
Mike, is that pretty well over then, what you've got to say? You don't have anything else?
I think so.
I think it's time I signed off.
Yep, fair enough.
Okay, thank you.
Everyone's free to do that. You're welcome, and thanks for joining in.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Nick.
Are there any other questions? Getting on, I didn't realize it's 11:30 here already.
Vic.
Yep.
Vic, Sam here. How are you?
Sammy is.
Vic, at the beginning of the call, you came on, you said, well, you know, I only have a few things to say. It shouldn't take very long.
Well,
2.5 hours later.
Good thing I said that. We could be going on to 5 hours.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I think that's it, and I'd like to get going myself, unless there's a real pertinent, somebody has what they feel is a very pertinent question. The only other thing I'd add here, and I'm kind of reluctant to do it, but is about donations.
No, it's
been in the email where you can send it if you're interested, and although my gut feeling is there's really no need for that, I don't want to say there is, I don't want to say there isn't, because I believe this final letter will take care of that. The only reason I'm throwing that on the table is because at this point in time I got $194 in the bank, and that's it. I don't have a long-distance service because it's a bill I'm not going to bother paying right now.
I'm sending you something.
So,
yeah,
that's only
I'm not
demanding it or commanding it or anything like that. This information is all free. I'm just sharing you the truth. I got that. It's not in my bank. It's in another bank, but there's $194 there, and that's it. And if that's all I got, that's all I got. I got to put my trust in God myself here.
Can I ask you? I want to ask you a question, Vic, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
You ready? Okay. we have that bankruptcy thing going on where, like, I have to, per their agreement, I have to pay CRA a certain amount of money to get this discharge, right? And there's my wife and myself, and I know myself, I would rather do another way, but because I she's my wife and that, we decided to be in agreement of going a certain way. So what we have to do, the agreement was, is we pay them $500 a month to the trustee over the next, like, 60 months for $30,000, and then they would discharge us. Now, my thinking on the whole thing is that just by putting what we've talked about tonight, send that to either the bankruptcy trustee, but also the government, and use it that way. Now, my question on it is, I have signed, I did sign a document to do that, but our business at this moment, we're having a bit of a tough time, and to be honest with you, it's really stressful because, you like to just be able to do that, get that over with, but on the other hand, I don't want to do it at all anyway. I'd rather just be able to, get out of the situation, tell them that I don't own the business because it was a personal bankruptcy, and, handle it the way we talked about tonight.
Yep, and remember, and we're talking about on this call, any obligations whatsoever, it's all part of that, it's all related to that business.
Right.
And the thing about it being a personal bankruptcy is really a mockery, as the judge said in that first line case. When the lawyer pointed out that, this, we don't have jurisdiction over this man, blah, 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 and the name on the court documents is derived off of this document, the judge did say, if that's the case, this is a mockery.
Yeah, he's right.
And the lawyer nodded in the affirmative. You see, the whole thing is a mockery. We don't know who we are as a mockery. We don't have any debts. We are not personal.
That's right.
To personal anything, but as long as we believe that, that's the mockery. So there's a big illusion here going on that we got to let go of. It's all a mockery, what we're doing to ourselves. It's a counterfeit appearance. I'm appearing as the business. I'm not the business.
Right.
I don't even own the business.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that. And it's just a matter of how I decide to handle it. Do I send it to the bankruptcy trustee, or do I just send it to the receiver general or whoever?
Well, wherever you're going to send your other stuff, if you're sending stuff to the if your birth was registered in Ontario, you know, you'd send it to the government.
Yeah, oh yeah. Makes sense.
It's not your business.
That's right. It goes all back to the very basics. It's just the KISS theory. That's what it is. You know, over the years, we've got so many different, like, theories and things people did and still do. You know, it's basically simple.
Yep.
Basically simple.
Yep, the solution to getting out of commerce is not by taking actions that have anything to do with commerce. It's getting out of it completely. It's like basically walking away from the Monopoly game. and walking away knowing that I created that game.
That's true, because it's all law of attraction, the whole thing. It's all your attitude.
It's my thinking I need to do something to receive that is preventing me from receiving. If I just walk away, then I can receive. That's a hard one to grasp, and maybe not putting that in proper terms, but that's really what this is about. If we're hesitant to leave the game, then we're in the game.
Yeah.
You can't be in and out. You can't take both roads. You can't be on both sides of the fence, one or the other, in or out.
Well, the thing
is, it's really about getting out, and in getting out is when we acquire our true freedom.
It's like you said when you were going in, how free you felt going in.
Oh, you mean when I was in the paddy wagon?
That's correct.
Absolutely.
It is by giving that you receive. But how can one give if he doesn't have anything? So
you have to go inside to
give it first.
The other thing is, though, is one truly giving when he has an expectation of receiving?
Yeah, correct.
energy, that's putting up a wall, man.
Sorry, I missed that?
How can one be giving if one has an expectation of receiving?
Yeah, that's true.
Not giving.
No, it isn't.
Wanting.
No, it's expensive.
But you know...
Right,
well,
it's not true giving.
It's not giving.
It's fun giving.
Hey, right? Dick, if you don't give us a location of how to send you some funds, if we want to donate, we won't be able to give.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear. Speak up a bit, please.
We will not be able to give if you don't give us a location to send some funds to.
Well, okay, just address it to Adam Flick, F-L-I-C-K, and the address is 975 A as in Apple, Elgin, that's E-L-G-I-N, Street West, in Coburg, that's C-O-B, O-U-R-G, is in George, Ontario, and the postal code is K9A, is in Apple, 5J is in John, 4. Oh, and there's Suite 383, keep forgetting that part. So 975A, Elgin Street West, Coburg, Ontario, K9A5J4, Suite 383. And address it to Adam Flick, A-D-A-M-F-L-I-C-K, and thank you very much.
Vic, how do you get on your email list?
Send me an email. Email address is BB, just two lowercase b's, at Trytel, that's TRYTEL.net, N-E-T. And I'm sure most of you are aware, but there's also a website, www.spiritualeconomics.zoomshare.com. So again, spiritual economics, all one word, .zoomshare, Z-O-O-M-S-H-A-R-E, .com. And any information I send out in the way of emails is posted there. No, I do not run that website. Other people do that. But you can go there anytime, and emails are usually posted. Perpetuating lack. They're going to raise taxes here and raise taxes there, and if that's affecting you one iota, then you're coming from fear. you're coming from a perspective of lack, I better start cutting back on this and cutting back on that, which is a definite denial of who we are.
Right. You know, you ought to see what is Caesar's, right?
I'm sorry?
You ought to see what is Caesar's.
Yep, that's right. But more importantly, just need to get a perspective of who we are in this equation here and take a stand on that. And I've read a couple of things, and I've talked to a couple of people recently who were pulled over in traffic stops and who stood on the fact that they're men, and they were let go. They didn't produce identification, they didn't have insurance, they didn't have stickers on the vehicle, different situations, but they stuck and stood on, I am a man, I'm identifying myself as myself, here I am. I'm a man. Your statutes don't pertain to men. So are there any more questions? All right, then, thanks for, yep. So
that's have a good night.
We'll call her a night there. So thanks very much for coming on, everyone, and listening, and your time and your patience.
Thanks.
It's good.
Thanks, Vic.
Okay, bye-bye.
Stay tuned, and just get rid of the fear.